Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another night of Fandom Access. I am your ever-faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. Got more of a normal show tonight. We've got The Walking Dead, or Fear the Walking Dead, Debris, Big Sky, two episodes of Manifest, and the entirety of Shadow and Bone. Season one. So, oh, and looky, Karen is here. Good evening, Karen.
Hi, AJ. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, thank you. Looking forward to another night with you guys here.
Jamie, you guys not have Van Helsing tonight?
Could we not have the what?
Van Helsing.
Van Helsing, I watched Van Helsing. Did I watch it this week or last week? Yes, we do. We forgot that we have to talk about Van Helsing. I think it was on last Friday night, and then it's not on. I never watch TV the night it's on, so I don't know what the hell.
I know.
Yes, Van Helsing was on, so we should give a little bit of something to Van Helsing. And it's going to be on, I think it's taking like a two-week hiatus.
Yeah, when I was writing up the episode, I noticed that it was missing from the list, but I was like, eh.
Yeah. I don't watch things, and I plow through it on the weekend, and I'm like, wait, was that this week's episode? Yeah. So anyway.
Know what drives me crazy?
What?
Is I watched Debris on Hulu, so I can never watch it until Tuesday, because it's on Monday.
Oh, do you guys not have regular TV?
I don't know. We got rid of that shit a long time ago. So much. Oh, my God. I save so much money now.
Cut the cord. Yeah. Huh. Well, I live alone and have nobody to talk to, so I got to have as many channels as possible. You have a house full of people to talk
with,
to.
But that's the thing, Karen. I mean, with Hulu showing 90% of the TV shows that are on and all the streaming services between Netflix and Prime and I don't even know what other ones there are anymore. Disney Plus, you know, it's like I didn't watch regular. The only live TV I watch is baseball, and I have a way to watch that. So I don't need regular TV.
Well, you know, I couldn't possibly get any work done if I couldn't run Little House on the Prairie or Harry Potter movies all day long. Those are the people talking in my background, so I have to have TV. So. Anyway, yeah, we'll add Van Helsing and have a pretty full slate tonight. So, Jamie, you saw Jamie's message, right? She's going to be coming
late
while
her.
She
yes.
uploads a story to the website. So maybe we can, I mean, now she watches, we're all watching all the same shows pretty much, so, except for a couple
there's
here.
Nothing Jamie isn't watching.
So, well, you know, quickly before she gets here, I finally today saw the trailer for Army of the Dead, or Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead.
Yes.
Came out. I don't know if you've seen it or
yeah,
how much we're
trailer.
Awaiting this film, but the trailer was pretty, I mean, it's nice to see Garrett Dillahunt, especially since he just got killed off on Fear the Walking Dead like 2 weeks ago, and he'll be in a far superior zombie story. with Army of the Dead. Even if the movie turns out to be bad, it'll be better than Fear the Walking Dead. I'm not quite ready to go to a movie theater yet, but I look forward to seeing that on streaming. It looks pretty decent.
It looks like a fun movie.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to have a little bit of a take on the zombies. You know, interesting take that the zombies are smarter, faster, kind of more organized kind of thing. More like the I Am Legend type of zombie going on.
Right.
So that might be interesting. Yeah. Looks like movies are going to be returning to the theater. You know, I mean, I think we'll still have the dual theater and streaming thing, but it looks like movies are moving back.
For a while we will.
Into theaters.
I know.
Yeah.
I know next month in June when Black Widow finally releases, it's going to be on Disney Plus and in the Disney Plus premiere. And in the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't have Disney Plus, so I'll have to wait up for that to come around at some point. But, yeah, it does seem like things are starting to experience. So,
yeah.
You're right. It'll be a while that we have both. But
And who knows? It might even.
I forgot about Black Widow.
So did everybody. They pushed it back like
yeah,
two times.
I know. It's been like years that we've been seeing that trailer and no movie.
Well, it's actually funny because when it was originally supposed to be done with the schedule, Scarlett Johansson got pregnant. So they had to push it back because of her pregnancy. And then they filmed it, and then it was supposed to come out, and then they had to push back post-production because of COVID. And then they were going to release it in and then I don't even know why they pushed it back the last two times, but they were supposed to release it in April, and then they said, nope, we're going to do it in May. And then they had that big conversation, that live conversation about all of their plans and everything. They said, okay, June, definitely June. We're not changing it again. So, we'll see.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. So we'll see that. So I guess, you know, maybe we'll just jump into something here while we wait for Jamie. I don't know if we want to
I know what we can jump into that we can kill some time with that won't affect anything until Jamie gets here. Did we really need a two-part episode of a Monster of the Week for Debris?
You know, I actually thought this was the first episode that I stayed awake in a long time.
Never mind. Jamie's here.
Is she here?
we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that question.
Okay. Hold that thought, Karen.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Jamie.
I really liked Debris. Okay. I mean, I don't know that we needed two episodes. I don't know that it had to be two episodes. I agree. It was longer than it needed to be, but I actually really liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I know you guys
told
me didn't, but that's okay.
No, we were trying to find something to talk about until you got here, and then just as I asked the question, did we really need two episodes of a Monster of the Week?
Okay.
You came
on,
so we really haven't talked. We'll talk about it after you guys are done with Walking Dead and Van Helsing.
Okay, sorry, I was having issues getting my article to post.
That's
why it took a little longer. But all right, well then we're going to do
all
the other one first. The other one first, then I take it.
Yeah.
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 All right. Okay. Which one do you want to
take it
first?
Away, ladies?
Let's talk about Fear. Yes, let's talk about Fear of the Walking Dead. And so, Jamie, you were not with us last week, and so I didn't, you know, go too much into Fear, and I don't want to really like dwell on it too much. But I was wondering what you think is going on with Daniel.
Okay, that I have kind of some theories, and I don't know if you read the interview with him or not, but what I kind of almost wondered, and I was curious if you wondered too, is I still wonder if maybe somebody was trying to make it look like he was crazy, because I thought like it's possible that maybe like somebody changed the map and he actually did say what he said, because it could be three things, and this is what I told him. It could be because we heard him talk to Charlie and Grace, about to go to the cabin, okay? And I re-listened to it, and he basically says there's a cabin, and he says, I marked it on the map. He doesn't say go to the cabin. He doesn't say I marked the cabin on the map. So it could be that we're seeing an unreliable narrator from his point of view. It could be that they just only showed us part of it and cut out the other pieces that he, you know, where he actually said don't go. Or it could be that maybe somebody's lying, because I almost for some reason wondered if maybe Charlie was like changed the map.
Me too. I wondered that also.
And maybe I called her Grace. Her name's not Grace. Is her name Grace? I won't call her Karen. Karen's her real name. Okay, her name is Grace.
Grace.
She could have mommy brain. She could just be mixed up.
She could also be a traitor. Like, she's been with Ginny for months and months and months.
Right.
That's what I thought in that moment. Like, by the end of the episode, do I think that? Maybe not. But in that moment, yes. I was like, okay, I thought Grace and Charlie maybe were in it together.
Really? See, I thought if anybody, for some reason, I felt like it was Charlie. Because I felt like Grace risked her life so many times before. Where, like, Charlie, the only thing we know about Charlie really is Charlie killed Nick. I mean, not that she hasn't been trustworthy, but I feel like I would trust Grace over Charlie. I don't know. But you're right. She has been with Ginny. I guess she could have brainwashed her or something. But I just wondered if
yes,
something
and
about
she's
that
pregnant.
Was kind of hinky. So.
Yep, and I feel like a person would do anything to protect their unborn child. And if that meant
that's
betraying
right.
everyone and whatever. Anyway, I did think that in that. I definitely suspected Charlie. I sort of suspected Grace. I definitely thought about the unreliable, like they leave you. In the end, you're supposed to think it was an unreliable narrator, that maybe he really is losing his mind. He's lost his mind at least twice before on this show, right? Or
yeah.
one, at least once
so,
before.
So you think that's what it is before? Because I still wonder if there's something else going on in it. And he, when he talked about it, he made it sound like there wasn't, because he made it sound like Daniel just kind of, you know, went a little nuts. But then when I said that to him, he made it sound like, well, maybe I was, you know, on the right track. So I don't know. Obviously, he could not tell me either way. So he was vague as he should be. But I don't know. I still feel like something's going on. But I could be just reading too much into it.
So,
but I'm glad to know at least it wasn't just me, that you at least had that thought during part of the show.
I think, okay, here's what I think. I think if this was a good show with good writers, which it is not, but if it was, I think it would be very interesting to maybe see a storyline about a person who has dementia in this kind of environment, and like, how do you manage a community member who's losing his memory, unreliable, like this kind of thing, right? But but if this is fear, so probably it's a setup or something is going on, because I think this show doesn't see value in the nuance; they see value in the shock factor. So there will be some big thing coming out of it.
Well,
either
it could just be he's nuts too. I mean, I don't know. I just
but we've already seen him go nuts before, right? Like, I mean, we could see it again, yes, but. Like, it could be, but yes, because this is the show. That's what the show is going for, somebody going nuts and being a problem. Or, you know, not just someone you love who's a family member that you have to take care of in a dangerous situation. Like, this show long ago gave up the interesting character tension, and all they're interested in is, like, the big bad villain, which we're going to talk about tonight. Like, one villain is gone, and you can't even, like, catch your breath, and they introduce another almost identical crazy person the next week, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't really know anything
So I think really there's going to be something with Daniel. Either he goes full on crazy and he's a danger, or should we kill him? Should we banish him? Or he's playing some kind of a long con that, or maybe he really did have a head injury. And, I mean, no, we saw that he was faking his memory loss with Victor.
Yeah. I don't
like,
think
are he and Victor still up to something.
Yeah, that was the thing that I was confused with too, because I went back and I had asked you about this. Like, originally when he said he lost his memory or whatever, he was totally faking that. But he was, I think, actually hit in the head, because he had like a mark on his head, and that was how he got away with saying, oh, he didn't know what was going on. But I don't know that he necessarily got like lost his memory from that, but maybe he's regressed to like what was going on before. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we won't know that
until
we get back to that side of that side of the group anyway.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, that could be really sad though, too. I mean, if they did go into that, and the fact that can they trust him, and it's like, he's good, you know, he didn't mean to do it. If it really, it was that he's kind of going loopy, but we don't know. So.
Yeah. So.
So
then we didn't see him at all this week, because we went to, like, a bunch of, you know, we went to Alicia and a bunch of, I mean, almost red shirts right now. Like, Luciana, like, come on. Like, whatever. Luciana West.
Yeah, they haven't done anything in a while.
Althea. Yeah. Althea. And you know, at the end of last week, Alicia's like, oh, we'll go, we'll catch them. And then this week, they're already, like, in the new people's compound.
Yeah. And, you know, after I went back and read about what had happened last week, it made sense. But I feel like they should have had at the beginning of the episode them either finding this place or reiterating how they got there, that they were going to meet up with the other group. Because I felt when I started watching, like, I missed part of the episode. Like, they were just all of a sudden at this underground place, and I missed what happened, because they made it look like they captured them, and obviously it was a fake out. But I was totally like, what the hell? I felt like I missed an episode or something. So, and I don't know if it was you or Kyle I took. Somebody I was talking to said the same thing. So I think that maybe they should have, I don't know, said something at the beginning. But yeah, they're doing their little spying thing. I don't know. I mean, I don't really want to see another cult. I feel like, I don't know why, have we seen a cult? Because I feel like we've seen this, but I'm trying to think back, have we seen this, or do I just feel like we've seen this?
Wait, have we seen what? This cult? No. All we've seen is, so these are the people that have been writing.
I mean, I feel like we've seen a cult before on the show, but no.
Oh, a cult on the show. I mean, you could call some of them a cult. Like, the governor certainly had, like, Negan had some, so Negan, I feel like, maybe had a cult of personality around him, but he ruled by fear. And the governor definitely had a cult of personality around him. This is more a cult, more like a religious cult than a cult of, like, belief that this guy is, like, their savior or messiah type thing, right? But, no, I don't think we've seen an actual, like, we haven't seen, like, a religious cult before. No. And they were kind of creepy, but, like, it was kind of stupid also.
I feel like, I don't know. I kind of feel like we didn't really see much yet because we only seen Teddy at, like, the very end of the episode. So we only got kind of bits and pieces about it. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell, but I definitely think some of these people drank the Kool-Aid. And as I was, if you read the interview with Nick Stahl, he plays Riley, which we didn't get that much of. He really couldn't tell me much. I think we should have done the interview beforehand because he really couldn't tell me about it. You know, it seemed to me definitely that Wes's brother was more brainwashed because he seemed to think that what they were doing was okay. And he acted like he was kind of nuts. Like, I think Riley more acts like he's in on whatever's going on, and he's, like, not that he's the leader, but he definitely seems to be, like, his right-hand man. Like, he knows what they're trying to do, and whether or not he believes in it, or he's just trying to get people to follow them, I don't know. That's the part we don't know. But he seems to be more knowing what's going on and not, you know, he seems to be in, I can't think of the right word, but not brainwashed. He seems to know what's real and what's not and all that kind of thing, and yeah. If that makes sense. I'm not wording it right. I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I thought this cult was a little, I'm just so sick of everyone having electricity. Like, where's the electricity coming from? Like, the show doesn't even bother anymore to explain to us, right? Like, they went to great lengths 2 years ago to explain that our characters knew how to run an oil refinery, right? But now they don't even bother. Like, these people live underground. They have electricity, they have grow lights, they have a massive, like, underground farming operation. By the way, Jamie, when the end comes, I'm not eating any food that has zombie compost on it, okay? Like, that just seems like a bad idea, right?
It does seem like a bad idea. Although, at least now we know what the end is, the beginning type of thing, he was meaning, like, that we go back to the ground and we could eat. And that was kind of what it meant, the whole circle of life. Cycle of life, whatever you want to call it. And also for people that did, if they wondered like me, because I was like, what the heck, when he said posters, and I had wondered, and he did mean composters.
I had to see that.
We've got a lot of different names in this show, too. Yeah, well, that's why I asked, because I wasn't sure. But we heard quite a few different titles in this episode, I think, because Wes's brother called him something, Wes called him something. They've gone through every name possible, I think, on the show at this point.
Yeah. So, aside from thinking the cult is ridiculous that they, like, compost zombies to grow their food and so their master plan is they're trying to kill everyone. They want to kill everyone because they think only they're going to live underground and only they should, like, be the new humanity. Like, life on the surface is over, life underground is where we're going, and everybody up, it can't happen unless everybody upstairs is annihilated, which is what makes them really dangerous and scary and stupid. Yes, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And so I think they're looking for Morgan because they want the key to set off the nuke, right?
Yeah, that could be too. Oh, from the sub or whatever.
Submarine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing too, though, is, I think it was you I talked to you about this, like, what is with the formaldehyde and embalming?
So that part was really bothered me a lot.
It didn't make sense. I had thought, because I think it was Teddy Teddy or Riley said something to Alicia, like, that you're not going to be able to be part of this, you won't be, like, basically said she wouldn't be turned into compost. I almost felt like they were saying, like, this is a punishment and that the people were happy to replenish and help everybody, you know, those kind of crazy things. Like, yes, when we die, we will help you by, you know, you can eat us type of thing. It makes me think of the order and back to those treat people. But,
I didn't really think that people are happy, but I do think that
not happy,
when they go out and
that's like a
I think they go out and they harvest random zombies off the upstairs or whatever, right? And I think they see it as a redemptive action to return you to the earth.
That's kind of
nice. And you become and a zombie is return, like they're setting a zombie free and returning to the earth. And so I think they think it's a big punishment for Alicia to be just kept as a zombie forever. Like I don't think those people chained up.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't understand why they're
are
doing
going
that,
in
though.
The compost because they're filled with embalming fluid, and that cannot be. That's not an appropriate form of compost. When I take my compost to drop it off every week, you can't have any like. Anything in it except like food,
right.
You can't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think they're the punished. I guess I just don't see understand.
They
like it just doesn't
a,
make a lot of sense.
They think
it
it's a punishment
like it
to,
weird.
To keep you as a zombie forever. So I'm not sure when they nuke the entire upstairs, how are they going to get zombies to compost? How are they going to get compost for their like right?
Unless
they,
they're like
really,
their guard dogs, I don't know because they had like their mouth sewn shut too. That's why it just seemed like it was just something to be weird and gross. Like it didn't really have a point.
It had
I
no
know.
Point because they can't become compost. So they got to keep them forever. If you nuke the entire upstairs, you will have no ability to like. Okay, this compost.
It's like when vampires, so, say if they kill all the humans, they have nobody left to drink. I mean, it's the same thing.
Well,
you can't do it then.
You know how on Snowpiercer everything's a closed system, and so they put the zombies into the food. And then, I mean, they put dead people, you know, dead people get composted on Snowpiercer and become, you know, go into the farm or whatever. I assume they're composting all their poop on Snowpiercer because it's an entire closed system, right? And there's a lot of hydroponics
right.
where stuff grows in water. And like, I'm like, because I've been, like, planting a lot of plants and looking at gardening, I'm, like, watching these people on the show. I'm like, there's no way they can live underground, but whatever. I agree with you that they think, like, I guess they could go upstairs and snatch random zombies to compost them, but they see that as a redemptive act and you're contributing to the future. And it's a punishment to chain those zombies up and embalm them so they'll never rot.
I guess they just
although
keep
I think
them there.
Embalmed bodies do eventually rot, right? When you get embalmed and you get buried, you don't stay perfect for like 1,000 years or whatever.
No, it's
so
more
so. That was, but I thought it was really dumb that they were doing it. And like Al says, while they're locked in the room, Al says, oh, that's embalming, which I don't know how Al, like, I would recognize embalming fluid if I saw it, would you? And is it Al or is it Alicia?
Well,
someone
I think
says,
they were supposed to have not been decomposing. I mean, I think you were supposed to be
no,
able
when,
to,
they're,
I assume
when they're
they
locked
tell
in the
zombie.
When they're locked in the room. No. When Al and Alicia and Wes are locked in the room and somebody says, oh, it's embalming equipment.
Yeah.
They've been to
they
the funeral
said,
home to... They
it had something to do with when they were at the funeral home before she recognized that it was that kind of equipment, I guess. Yeah, that didn't. They didn't exactly explain that, but it wasn't really relevant other than
guess
to
it
say
must have been,
this is flammable.
It must have been Alicia who said it, and I thought she recognized it from the taxiderm. Like the taxidermist had embalming fluid, right? Like taxidermied animals.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Owl
anyway.
And, I thought it was from where Al and
White
went.
Oh, yeah, from when Al and those
but
guys.
It's not.
Yes.
But it's neither here nor there. The point is it was flammable, and that's what we needed to know.
Yeah.
That was the whole...
Because it was otherwise dumb.
They couldn't have just said,
like,
this is gasoline. Like, they could have just said, this is gasoline. It will blow up. And that would have done the same thing, so...
Well, and I don't under... So twice they were locked in there alone and didn't destroy... So they were locked there alone, and they didn't destroy it, right? And then later, Alicia is locked in there alone, and she does grab a knife to defend herself, but... Like, why didn't she destroy that equipment while she was locked? Like, it was so dumb to lock your prisoner alone with the equipment you're going to use to kill her, because she could have destroyed it right then. And then it was equally dumb that she didn't destroy it, because they needed that moment
that
where she like, kills her captor by embalming him, right? That they
right,
were saving
but I
it for that
be
cool
more
kill.
Concerned with, well, no, I agree, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I would necessarily think destroy everything. I would think you'd just be thinking kill the person when they come back in, rather than let me destroy all the equipment first because they might not decide to kill me in a different way. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
But
while you're locked in there alone, you
yeah,
could,
I
like,
get it.
Stop the
yeah,
way
yeah,
to
I kind of get
kill
it. But she also could have totally taken on Teddy. I mean, he's like this old skinny guy. I think she could have taken him. And I was like thinking, why isn't she attacking him? I don't know. That was what I thought. I thought Alicia is a lot stronger than him. She could totally take him. That was my first thought, that she should keep going.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously they have some kind of plan for her. Now, this is my question to you, and I don't know if you think this. Some people have been saying this. Some people are getting mad when people say this. But my thought, too, the way he acted, I forget exactly what it was he said, but I almost wondered if he has Madison there somewhere. And I guess it's kind of like a big divide of whether people agree with that or not. But we had mentioned before how we never saw her body. And it seemed like it was over and done with and we weren't going back to that. But there was something he said, and I don't even remember what it was he said. But the way he said it, he made it sound like he knew about Alicia, and I don't know. Did you feel that, or is that just you don't agree, don't think that?
So
I was just curious your opinion.
So two things. So what was the first comment you had about? So I think that they know a lot about Alicia and everybody, probably because they have a spy embedded in Morgantown.
That too.
Morgan's people.
Yeah.
I think they have spies. They probably have spies in Ginny Town, in Lawton, and they probably have spies in Morgantown, and it's going to be like this big reveal who's the traitor. But also, everyone on this show blabs on radios all day, every day. Like they use their real names. They use their real names all the time on the radio. They use their real locations. They made a bunch of public service. And
I was going to say they made those videos too.
Seasons of people making videos of themselves. So of course they know everything about them, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, it was just the way they did it for some reason gave me that opinion. And I thought maybe it was just me, but I was looking up online. I guess other people thought that too. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I want them to do that because it's kind of like over and done with, too far gone. But I'm just saying, for whatever reason, I got that feeling.
I think when he says, Alicia, I've been looking for someone like you, I think he thinks if he can convert Alicia and make her a believer, he'd have this, like, badass fighter and leader
who
could, like, really lead them into the future, right? Which is never going to happen.
No.
So,
of course not.
I was disappointed a little bit in this episode the way – so I knew that it was kind of obvious that Derek, Wes's brother, was not going to come around. And it was going to end badly. I feel like it would have been cooler to have that story drawn out a little bit. Like I complained earlier that this show has given up on any kind of character tension and they just go for the big, every promo and every interview anybody's done in the last couple weeks has been, this is not like any, this episode, every single week they're like, this episode is not like anything we've ever seen before. This is a game changer, which it's really not. They're really hyping it, but it would have been nice to see the tension between the brothers play out a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, I'm not.
Yeah, I agree.
Look, on the one hand, I don't want this cult storyline to drag out too long because it's bothering me. On the other hand, it would be more effective to see Wes and Derek have a different and more prolonged kind of tension and the way they love each other, but they can't. Like, you know. Derek admitted pretty quickly that he would have blown up Tank Town even if he knew Wes was there. And when Wes killed him, he didn't really seem that shaken up or sad, right? It was almost like Wes known from the beginning he was going to have to kill Derek.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, I get that he already thought he was dead, but it still wouldn't be easy like that. So, yeah, I agree.
No.
I mean, it's so hard to tell, though, because sometimes when they do the opposite, then we complain that they spend too much time, like, whining about it. You know what I mean? We do the opposite. And so sometimes I'm not sure. But, yeah, I do feel like it went way too quick, and he wasn't upset. I found it believable that he would kill his brother. I just think that there should have been more of a struggle internally of whether he killed his brother, or at least, like you said, he should have gotten a little more upset over it. Just
and he should have
been
a complete
was brainwashed. He could have maybe even tried to get him help. You know, he didn't even kidnap him and try to get him deprogrammed or something.
Right? Yeah. And he should have been a complete emotional wreck in the scenes for the rest of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of wasn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just reverted to like regular, like.
Yeah, I blame that on the writers, though.
Yeah.
Not the actor. Because it seems like this is a continual thing.
Yes. I was also really bothered by Alicia's complete lack of even trying to escape. So when Alicia's like, I'll light the match, you guys run. Like, I feel like couldn't you have, like, made a little trail of formaldehyde and, like, gotten yourself close? Like, do you have to stand in the middle of everything that's going to blow up when you light the match? Like, couldn't you, like, back
it's
up
like
a little bit and try to escape?
She wanted to die. Well, didn't you think that, like, maybe she had a death wish? Because I was wondering, like, you know, she's acting like she has a death wish just standing there. Yeah, that part was a little.
She did, but I don't really think Alicia has a death wish. I think everything
no,
we
I
know
don't
about
think
Alicia,
she, does either,
she wants
but,
to live.
I mean, she acted like it.
So,
yeah, but the what she
well,
did was,
I mean,
was acted like it.
That was the action of a person who wants to die, which is not anything we've seen in Alicia. And
that's
so I've
point, yeah.
speculated also that she wanted to get captured, but I'm sorry, blowing up a
yeah,
plate,
that makes no
like,
sense.
That is not a way to, like, I just thought.
That's a way to blow up yourself.
Yeah.
That's not a way to get captured.
Yes.
How did they even get out of there either? Did they even explain how she got out of there?
No.
Or was it
no.
she was fine?
No, there's
okay.
no explanation. We just see her fine and locked up in the embalming room in the next, you know. They also didn't explain yet how anybody, how they know Morgan. Nobody knows Morgan has the key. Nobody knows Morgan has the key, right? Nobody.
Yeah,
except the audience
the
and Morgan. Yes, and he's never told anyone about it. And he wears it around his neck, and nobody knows about it.
Did they mention
they,
it? How?
He's never. I don't think he's ever mentioned it to anybody. I don't know.
No,
anything
I mean, did
about
they mention it? They,
no,
you're saying
they
that
just,
or you just
they
assuming
just have
they
this,
want it.
They just have a hard on for Morgan somehow, right? They're just. Okay, I shouldn't say that, but they're just like
I know what you mean.
They know who Morgan is, and they want Morgan. Like, wait, you know Morgan Jones? We're getting Morgan Jones. And now, granted, Morgan's been like on the radio, like blah blah, Ginny, I'm Morgan Jones. I'm gonna kill you, blah blah, right? But I think the reason they want him is the key, right? And so,
probably.
If I'm right, if that theory is, I mean, we all think that's kind of obvious. If that's correct. How do they know he has the key unless they have a spy in Morgantown who maybe saw the key around his neck or something and knows what the key is, which is kind of ridiculous because I don't think the rank-and-file people of the underground land, the hobbits or whatever we're going to call these people, or the Eloi who live underground. Were the Eloi underground? Whatever. I don't think those people generally know that Teddy's big plan is to nuke the upstairs.
Yeah, but we're
also
assuming,
also it's
although
a dumb,
otherwise,
it's also,
what was the point of the key?
Yeah,
I mean, it has to have something.
Yeah.
I mean, it could just be they want the sub for something else, but I'm not sure what else they would want it for. But.
And don't get me started on a sub being beached in Texas, right? Like, let's not even go there. But
yeah, the water couldn't have been that low that it somehow or just.
It's also
that
a
much.
Dumb plan because you can set up a nuke like where you are in Dallas. Like they're near Dallas, right? Like
yeah,
because
you'd
that's
have to get
where,
kind of far away.
Well, and also, like, it's not going to destroy all everybody who's up. It's just going to, like, destroy, like, the area within a certain radius of the blast, and it's going to make it uninhabitable for years, but people in Canada and Europe and wherever will go on living, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to create, it's not,
they
like,
can't kill
going
them
to
all.
Cause a global thermonuclear war. So it's going to, so it's kind of a dumb plan if that's the plan, but this
well,
show
maybe
has
we'll
a problem
find out that isn't the plan.
With bad villains. I mean, but that said, it wasn't the worst episode, right? Like,
no, it was decent.
Wasn't? Yeah. Actually,
I
don't know if AJ's
goes.
Listening, but I, as I watched this episode, I kept thinking of The 100 and the seasons where they went to live underground in the bunker, and it went very, very badly for the people living underground in the bunker, and they were reduced eventually to cannibalism. And like fights to the death in the arena for like the whole blood rate. I don't think you watched those seasons, Jamie, but
no,
AJ
thankfully,
I did.
No.
And I kept thinking like, oh, Alicia's going to become Blood Reina and she's going to preside over like this horrible, horrible 5 years in the bunker where they're going to have to become cannibals.
I'm not watching that.
no, I was thinking like, okay, I've seen shows where people have to live underground and it never works out well in the end. So
no, it doesn't. Right. I don't know. I guess we'll just see what happens. I don't know. It was okay, though. I agree with what you said. Like, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't bad. I'm more interested in what the heck with the CRM maps. Like, we had, you know, thought that maybe they were connected to them, but I guess they just want a helicopter, according to Al, or at least that's her theory, that they just think they could steal a helicopter. So I feel like there's got to be more to it than that, or that's, like, really, well, then
well,
again, this is
it,
for the Walking
it
Dead.
Was very interesting that so in all those embalmed and sewed up zombies, they had a CRM person, right? And Al was afraid it was Isabel, and she checks it out. So it was really interesting to me that they caught a CRM person because, like, So in years and years and years on all of these shows, we never saw any CRM people until they were recently introduced, right? They have superior firepower. They're never alone. They, like, it's really surprising me and interesting that they could capture one of those people. Or maybe they found that they, I mean, you know, this is
they could have found
kill you. So, and so it does look like Al's going to go on her own, right? Al's like, I got to go find her and warn her. And I'm like, how are you going to do that? She's going to use these maps, I guess, to find a CRM drop site and see if she can warn them that these kooks are around. Although...
But, yeah, they would be able to beat them. You're right that it wouldn't be that big of a threat.
So Al's going to go off by herself, and Dwight's like, if you don't check in, I'll come after you. So I guess we're going to have a little side story at some point about that, which is interesting. And it makes me wonder because... It does look like Walking Dead and World Beyond are both moving towards the Rick Grimes movies, and the CRM is a big part of that, right? But Fear is still like 5 years behind. Fear, I don't see how Fear could ever be a part of that storyline.
Yeah.
Fear is like a backstory of that storyline, right?
Yeah, that was my question too, because I was still concerned. Are they still 6 years behind the other show?
Yeah. I don't know if it's six, but they're still behind, Yes, they're still behind.
So they're
did not make that random 5-year time jump, Carl, that Walking Dead did, right? They didn't make that.
Right.
No. They're still behind.
Unless
is it 5, 6, 7 years?
Let me ask you this. World Beyond takes place, does it take place, when does it take place? Simultaneous?
In World Beyond,
that this is maybe leading up to more of the of showing how it was created. I mean, obviously it's already been created, but
World Beyond has mentioned that it's been 10. They've been living in that college campus for 10 years when the whole thing opens, and these kids have never really like. Do you remember in the flashback where the kid with the curly hair wears like the Garanimal suit, where he's in the museum with his parents and the zombie outbreak happens? He's like 5 or 6 years old then. And he's like 15 or 16 when they head out. So it's about 10 years post-apocalypse. So it's about current with Walking Dead. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's where I was like lost of where.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, it could be maybe leading up, I guess, to connect with how that ends up happening, I guess. Like you said, sort of before that, but I don't know. But I do think and agree that they're sort of heading towards some kind of good conclusion, I guess. But how long Fear is going to remain on, I mean, they're not acting like it's ending, so I don't know.
They're not, no. They're not feeling like it's ending, and they're not acting like it's joining. But it might be ending if they let it continue to, like, not be – you know, there were some good episodes, and now it's – sort of back to its own, you know, I mean, this show has had, honestly, ever since Gimple had you know how we feel about Scott Gimple and his role in this, and, you know, he's become more involved in this show, and they got these new showrunners like 3 years ago, and I feel like, you know, it's been sort of, there's been a lot of problems with Morgan's character that we talk about and some other kinds of problems, right? And then killing John Dory, like one of the good people. Could you kill like your 500 red shirt people that are never on, right? Like there's all, like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to be, I'm not looking at any actors, but there are so many characters that are never ever seen and don't do anything. Could we kill them? Like,
either kill them or give them better storylines. Right.
Mm-hmm. Kill some people. We got too many people. So, anyway.
Yeah, I think maybe it could have gone differently. But I don't know. Like I said, I don't think it was bad. I think it was okay. I don't think it was fantastic. I think the writing's been – I mean, I've liked it this season so far. This one,
yeah.
I don't know. It depends where they go because I'm not in love with storyline. But I guess, personally just don't really care for that storyline. Like, I don't, you know.
Yeah. I don't care for it because it feels like recycled villains who we've seen before. It just feels like sort of the same thing that we keep watching with the same kind of a leader of a danger. Like, I kind of really like
a crazy leader
older
that everybody
seasons.
Follows.
Yes. Like, do you remember, like, the season at the dam was not the greatest, but it was about a struggle for resources, and there were two groups. Or the season where they were living on that ranch where it was a survivalist family had created the ranch, but the Native Americans were like, you are on our property and we, you know, that's our historical, like, and that was basically a struggle over water, right? And mm-hmm. I found that to be a little more, and it was a slower burn. And
as much as we were complaining then.
We were, but that was better. And those villains had a more interesting and nuanced motivation, right? Than,
yeah,
or
rather
even
than
when,
just a
even
big, bad,
Victor
crazy
Madison,
person.
Even when Victor and Madison were holed up in the hotel and they were sort of at odds with the people that worked in the hotel, like, that was, like, a more, that was, like, believable, like, what humans would go through in this. And, like, I don't have to have total believability every time. I don't mind, like, a crazy, just a nutcase villain every now and then, but
they don't always
on,
have to be a nutcase villain that everybody follows for
no reason. And it's
on
both of these shows, right? It's not just,
mm-hmm.
it's not just Teddy or, actually, Virginia looks pretty much not like a very bad person in retrospect. Like, what did Virginia really do except kind of be a bitch, right? and not let people leave. Or, you know, at least the governor was a good crazy person. But Alpha, you know, or, like, it just seems like one after
the next. Alpha was just crazy,
one,
crazy.
Yeah, or that guy who, like, locked Michonne in his, it had all those people locked up in his jail there, or, like, I just feel like every,
yeah, it used to be more about the surviving and less about that we have to have a big bad villain, which I, like,
yes.
would prefer to go back to that. I like
and
it
the villains,
about surviving about the,
and the villains,
I mean, it's about people,
well,
yes, people can
yeah.
be bad, but they're not going to be crazy,
yeah. but the villains we had were also just trying to survive, and now we have villains that are, like,
trying
you
to
know,
kill everybody.
Yeah, I'd like to once in a while see zombies, like, zombies are no longer even a threat, right? So anyway, I mean, like, whatever. Anyway, I don't want to, like, those are overarching problems that we continue to have with this show. And they, you know,
yeah.
But this episode,
no, you're right.
not the worst, but not a good villain. Like, I'm already thinking, like, how soon can they kill Teddy and can we just move on to the next thing? Because,
see, I don't know. I feel like we haven't even barely seen him yet. So at least
no,
I don't mind giving him
really,
a chance. But
you know he's
going to
get killed.
I don't know that it's going to go well. Well, eventually,
yeah, you know,
yeah,
Alicia's
going to
kill him.
Killed eventually.
You know Alicia's going to kill him, so, you know, there's no, like, finding a way to coexist, like, when on Walking Dead they were like, okay, we've got to coexist with these saviors that who lived, right? So let's, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's true of a lot of things. I mean, you know that the bad guy's
yeah.
not going to stay around, but I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I think it depends how they play it. I'm willing to see. I don't think it was that bad, but, yes, it had a lot of problems that we've discussed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I want to see kind of where it goes.
It's far better from the dark days of fear, for sure.
Yeah.
Dark days
All
of
right.
the worst writing, yeah. All right, so we've talked about enough, so let's move on. Let's talk about
okay,
Van Helsing
like
real
said,
quick.
People can read the interview. All right.
Van Helsing.
Okay, so this
Van
is
Helsing.
The last of the sort of three-part one. I think there were good parts of this, but at the end it kind of went back into some of the little bit of the crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like there were good parts and not so good parts about this episode. I mean, I kind of liked, like, them still trying to stop her before she – I mean, I guess she's already now
– To stop her, the Dark One?
Yeah, she's already – Yeah, she's already Dracula, so I guess she's kind of already there, but trying to stop her before she, you know, everything happens the way it happened. And I kind of, you know, I like the whole thing with her and Michaela working together. Her and
Bathory.
Yeah, Bathory working together when Bathory's human. And I like the whole thing with, you know, using her mother's scroll and everything. And I also think the idea of how she kind of took some of the Dark One into her and took it out of Dracula, I think it's kind of interesting, but I don't want him to go back into, I mean, we have now Bathory is the Oracle again, which we've said before, we really don't like the Oracle when she goes like over the top like that, she's crazy. But also the fact is, I don't even know if they explained it, but the fact that Michaela got beheaded and is like back again.
Alive?
I don't
yeah.
know. I don't know if they just,
How
yeah, I don't
even,
know if they
yeah.
didn't explain it or I missed it, but somehow
no,
she's back.
No, didn't explain it.
Which, yeah, that I could have done without, but, yeah,
they explained
I
think they explained it as, like, the Dark One can do magic, and I think that's one of my major objections to this entire,
that's
like,
not really
episode,
an answer,
this
yeah.
episode, is that the Dark One is pretty much magic, and, yeah, and that's not an answer, and it bothers me. Like, I'm sorry, but getting your head chopped off is, like, the definitive way to kill a vampire, right? And that really kind of bothered me.
What I'm kind of wondering is, I like how Dalibor helped them in the end, even if he ended up turning in dead. But I kind of wondered if maybe his Christoph is going to end up somebody that maybe changed his name or something we don't know about. Either that or I'm forgetting something, but it seems like he might be important later.
Well, they changed his name to Jack at the end. He's like the first Van Helsing.
Oh, did they? I'm trying to remember. Did they say they changed?
They were like,
what? What did
yeah,
they
were like, what should we? They're like, we need to give him a name. What should we call him? And they were like, well, if you don't have a Van Helsing, why don't you create one? Let's call him Jack. So they're basically like making him the first Van Helsing.
Right. I just meant, I guess, that I'm wondering, like, if we saw this character or knew of this character before in the past. But I guess if it's
a couple hundred years ago, like, he could be like Jack's ancestor, right? Vanessa's ancestor.
But I don't know. I think the thing's interesting, though, about this guy that, and I don't remember his name in here, but that he's the one that made the book to begin with the drawings that we've seen. That's like leading that.
Alexander, right?
I don't know. I'm so anymore bad with names. I just cannot remember names anymore. But my point is, the guy that's making the drawings, that it's actually pieces of the book, or at least it seems to be pieces of the book that they have in the present.
It does.
So I think that's interesting. And obviously now Jack's in America, but she's not in the right time period. So that doesn't help. But I'm trying to remember exactly where it ends. I don't want to go to it. Says that it does show that Dracula knows she lost
some of
her darkness.
It ends. So, you know, Jack is going to go to America, and then Alexandra is her name, right? And the guy's name, I forget. Anyway, they're like, let's name him Jack. And then they cut to, like, the present where
with the president.
The president, where the Dark One is the president, which to me is one of the – this whole thing with the president is one of the dumbest parts of all, and that she's actually in the Oval Office, because we've been taught to believe that the only way that they've been able to survive is being at high elevation above the dark clouds where they're still light, although now pretty much all vampires are daywalkers now, which bothers me.
Yes, I don't think it really matters. But
and that – you know, Denver was the place, and like, what, now she's just sitting around the Oval, like, what? Like the idea that they would take over the president seems to me to be a thing you would do in the early days of the, like, why even have a president now? Like, what?
Yeah,
like,
they know.
All of humanity is pretty much almost destroyed, and what? Like, where are they going?
Yeah,
with
the
that?
Fact that she still has to fake it and pretend that she's a human, that part I don't get either. I don't know. I'll say it this way. There's things about this show that I really like, but there is things that they kind of go way over the top that just are like unnecessarily crazy sometimes. So, I don't know the name of that, but I do like I do like the fact that like she has taken part of the Dark One, that Jack took it into herself and put it in that vial. And that now Dracula is missing a part of herself. I think that is sort of an interesting storyline. Now, granted, I've seen further, but
it's borderline interesting, like kind of interesting. What I really did not like was they cut to the present, and the Dark One and Bathory are like, "Ooh, wait, something's weird. Something has changed. I feel like part of my darkness is gone." Oh, something in the past has changed. I'm like, what?
Yeah, they could have explained it a little better.
Just have that conversation, right? Like, that to me was just silly that they would feel it, know it, and define it and identify it within, like, five lines of dialogue.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll give you that. But the idea of it, I guess, I think it is interesting. But
I mean, I kind of preferred it to be the idea that they've had this amulet with the Dark One's like blood in it all this time, and it maybe, you know, I mean, they didn't tie it back to the previous storyline. They're like I don't know. If it's going to be an origin story, then it kind of wasn't an origin story, right? Because it's very different from what we've been led to
understand all this time. From what originally happened. Yeah, and the other thing is, we still at this point, and you know, I'm not saying further what I know or don't know, but I don't even know whether she exactly time traveled or whether she's in somebody else. Or
annoying.
I think they're making
so
it out that she time traveled. It seems to be.
Yeah.
So
yes,
which still doesn't make a
which
lot of sense,
no
story wise.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
that makes.
Yeah, but they seem to be, I think, moving towards a conclusion, which is a good thing. How that's going to, you know, we'll have to see. But I kind of like the less, I'm tending this season to like the less mythology parts of it. Like when they get too much into the vampire lore, that's when it sometimes loses me a bit.
I mean, to me, this was an origin story that I didn't want or ask for. Like, I didn't need to know how the Dark One was created and how Bathory and Michaela came to be her, like, handmaidens or her beloveds or whatever. Like, I was able to accept that. You and I never once had a conversation where we asked that, right? And so they've spent three episodes giving me a backstory that, like, I'm happy to feel that, to understand that evil has always been with us. It was a little interesting to see Bathory as a human and that Jack, you know, the idea that Jack in the end couldn't really change anything. Like, we knew that was coming, right? I just feel like they gave us something we never asked, Vince, of other more interesting things. Like our group of, Flesh has, I guess, like, gone off the show. Doc, like, forgotten and gone. Like, our group of humans fighting the vampires are all gone, and they've got these two new characters. And while I do find Nicole Munoz to be, like, a good presence on screen, and an actress who I like, I'm like,
they never wrapped up
some
of the other stuff first.
I'm like, why am I watching this show?
That's kind of my problem with it. Like, I like her in Violet, and it's great, but, like, we don't know what happened to Vanessa. They sort of, like, instead of wrapping up Vanessa, they started a new storyline, which I find kind of confusing.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure why that happened. I'm sure it's going to get wrapped back around, and that part I don't know because I haven't seen far enough to get to that point. But these three episodes, I said before, were sort of like the self-contained telling you this part of the story. We are going to get to see, and I don't know what the preview showed, so I don't want to go too far, but we are going to get to see what's happening with other characters, you know, for the rest of the season. It's all just this. So we'll be able to, but they do, at least the parts I've seen so far, I mean, they're connecting the storylines, but not necessarily all the stuff that we're waiting from, like, way before that we never got answers to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to somebody, I don't remember what it was saying, but they were like watching the first season. They hadn't seen it. They just started it. And it's like, this show was like so not the same show back then. I mean, it was like a completely different show. And you
we're
think
watching
of it now and think
show.
Of it then. And that's why it's kind of like maybe they should have made a spinoff or something. And that's what I said. Like, I like their characters, but I'd also like to know what happened with everything else that we were watching before. Instead of getting new story, we need to wrap up what's there.
And I feel like they've gone too far down a certain road to be able to really resolve things that we saw earlier.
Yeah, not to resolve all of it in one season. We'll have to see, but yeah.
Yeah.
I like where the rest of the season is heading, because I have seen some more. I haven't seen the whole season, but but like I said, you know, we're still moving towards an ending. We still don't know how they're going to wrap it up. So, yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see. But next week, did they show preview? Because I don't know if they actually showed what it was about.
Violet. They showed Violet.
Okay.
And she's captured. And this woman is, like, hitting with a cattle prod, and she's like, why are you trying to kill the president? And Violet's like, she's not the president. And that's pretty much all we saw.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I couldn't remember. Yeah, because I was trying to tweet and watch it and do work at the same time, so.
Yeah. We have no idea how she got to, like, so we've not seen her try to kill the president yet that I can recall. We don't know how she got to Washington. Like, there's a lot of things, you know.
Well, I think when we left them, Violet had come out of, if I remember rightly, Violet had come out of the portal. And, well, Jack came out of the portal, too, but it wasn't Jack. It was
They came out of the portal.
Pretending
and
to
Violet
be Jack.
Was strapped to a bed and saying, like, it's not her, stop. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was kind of where we never got through. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So we'll be seeing the kind of some of the other side now. And I'm going to probably be talking to Nicole sometime later this week. We haven't set down a time yet. But so, although a lot of that will, everything we talk about, probably at least half of it will not be seen or put up until the end of this. Until,
I know, especially
the end of this
talking about the end of the
I know,
season.
Well, but there's also, I kind of, you know, that's the kind of stuff we want to talk about, too. There's a lot of stuff,
yeah.
I think, to deconstruct having to do with the end of it. So we'll kind of see how that goes. People have to wait for that. But people, if the, you know, fans want any questions, you can start sending me questions. I'll be tweeting about that. I don't have a,
cool.
We're not sure of the day yet, but probably this week coming up, so.
All right.
And hopefully I've been trying to get some other things too. So we'll see how that goes. I don't always get responses from all the networks. Let's just say that. So
yeah.
We'll see. Yeah. Like trying to get other interviews, but not always happening. So we'll see how that goes. All right.
Okay.
Well, I guess then let's move on from Van Helsing to, you want to do Debris now, or did we have something else first? I think we were
let's
ready
do
for Debris.
Let's get AJ in here and talk about Debris and bang this one out. And you weren't here last week, Jamie, but AJ and I did talk about it, but these really are
I have a couple
one chapter
things
so.
I wanted to say. Yeah. The one thing I want to say is AJ, he's back. He's back. I think
I'm
I hear him. Are you there, AJ?
Yeah, I hear him.
I'm
here. Breathing. Okay, I thought I heard you breathing. That sounds gross. You know what I meant, but I thought I heard you. after I said that, I started to say that I thought that didn't sound, you know what I meant. It's, you know, I'm just now, like, picturing, like, one of, like, those phone calls, you know. But anyway.
I was just
going to
start doing that. I was going to start.
Now I'm thinking of that blood, too. But anyway, aside from that, I did want to comment on the first episode. Now, when I made my comment to you guys before, this was based on the promo for this week, and I was glad that it wasn't what they made it look like, so I didn't have so much of a problem with it. But the main thing I had the problem with last week is Brian is, like, have to get back to Sinola and seems really, like, upset about it, okay, which I kind of had a problem with. I mean, they're friends, but when they showed the promo, to me, it almost made it look like it was trying to say Brian was in love with her, and I had a big problem with that because we talked before about their chemistry or lack thereof, and where I see them being friends, I definitely don't see that. Now, thankfully, the clip of Finola saying, what would you say to me if you could only say something or whatever, I forget what her quote was, something like, if you could only say
if
one more thing.
If you were never
going to
see me again, what would you say?
Yeah. So they totally flipped that, and it was her father. So I appreciate
NBC
that.
NBC promo
so
department.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was definitely the promo department. So I appreciate that, and that part didn't bother me. I do feel, though, like for this episode to make more sense, though, I feel like they should have had a closer relationship, though. I do still kind of feel like he made me feel like they were a lot closer than they were after watching this episode. Like, it's like I missed a season or something where they actually became really good friends. That's what I feel like. But other than that, the whole storyline and everything and the different timelines and how they kept bringing in, like, different partners and stuff, I thought was kind of cool. And I did enjoy the episode. I did not like that female agent, though, that they brought in during a lot of it. She was, like, really annoying. I'm sorry. Yeah. Now, that guy, the one guy, he was kind of funny, that Niels or whatever. I didn't mind him. But, yeah, the other lady, I'm like, she's like, I've known you for 5 years. I'm like, you don't act like it. You know, she seems like she didn't care at all.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing I want to comment, and then we'll go into the main part of the episode, but this is kind of about the end. We saw with Maddox, I just want to comment the whole thing with him trying to stop his wife from giving him the divorce papers. When we saw it in the first episode, it happened different. Was that then one of the other universes? Because, or was it just supposed to be that in the end it failed and she gave him the papers anyway? Because I thought he had kind of stopped her from doing that, and then the
that's
very end of the episode, that's what happened. So I do want to at some point discuss that. But anyway, we can go into that after. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned it.
All right. All right. So AJ, you've been quiet for a long time.
Yeah. Why don't you
talk to us about Debris?
For me, it's a waste of 2 hours. Okay. You don't do your Groundhog Day episode until you've established your show. Debris is not established. We have no idea what's going on. We've gotten no advancement with the mythology, and you throw a two-part, like, usually two-part episodes are something big that's going to happen in the mythology. This was Groundhog Day. That's it. All this was, it means nothing, absolutely nothing to anything other than maybe their attempt at character development, which failed miserably, as all three of us agree that Brian saying he needed to get back to Fanula made no sense because they're not that close.
I think if they had maybe put this like later after they had established
friends,
it would have worked.
It's definitely in the wrong place of the show. I mean, this is a season two episode actually in a way, simply because, like I just said, they haven't even established their mythology. Like, we still know very little about the mythology. The most interesting part of the entire episode was about 30 seconds long when what's-his-face there that's locked up, when he touches the guy and then apparently he can sense or feel or see or know
really?
What numbers he's pushing on the keypad. No, I said that. No, I didn't say. I said it was the only interesting part of the episode.
I was wondering if that was connected with how he knew she was singing that song or listening to that song. Remember how we said it, like, it was weird when he was like mouthing it when she was listening to it. I was wondering if that.
Yes,
was connected.
Yes, and he did touch her.
I don't know.
It is connected because he did touch her.
Right, so at least that maybe makes sense. It's weird. Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure I'm in love with it, but at least it's kind of
obviously. Well, obviously, there's a piece of debris that gave him that ability. I mean, that's the problem with this show, is you need something to happen. You need an ability. Oh, don't worry, we've got a piece of debris for that.
It's too easy.
Yeah, but that being said, I like this I like the Monster of the Week, whatever you call it, Case of the Week episode. I don't think it needed two episodes to tell it. I do agree that I didn't feel like hurry up, be done, it's being stretched out or not. I definitely didn't feel like that. But I also don't think that they needed 2 hours to tell this story. This was definitely this should have been a 1 hour story. But that being said, I liked the story. It just wasn't mythology, and it wasn't like what we were waiting for. It would have been better to get more of the actual backstory, but I don't know, I still liked it as an episode. It just didn't need to be two.
I have a very important question. So
yeah.
to be fair and to be honest, I don't give debris all of my undivided attention. A lot of times I'm watching debris, I'm doing something else, because for me debris is not.
Sometimes the other thing is sleeping.
What?
Sometimes Karen. The other thing I'm doing is sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
Or watching debris.
Did either of you, for
even the tiniest moment, when Fanula goes to the door and the sister answers this time, did either of you think it was the boy with a wig on at first?
Yes. I thought that they were. Well, I didn't know that. I thought it was him with the wig on, but I thought that like he changed sexes or genders. Yes. Sorry, gender, not sex.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not. It's the way they did the scene. I think the way they set it up too. It was like you thought it was him. I will say though, this episode definitely gave me some Fringe vibes. But yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was like a different version of him.
No, I totally thought it was the same actor wearing like a wig and like made up things like a girl.
Oh, good. It wasn't just me. Thank God.
I totally thought that. And then I was like, wait, what? And then I watched it and it was clearly a different actress. But and it is partly because the way they shot it and they drained it of all color. And it was like this gray, like wet paper towel color. And so their hair was the same color. Their skin was the same color.
Well, they were
like,
supposed
it really
to be twins.
Be twins.
They are twins. So.
But yeah,
for
like
a second,
the same thing too.
But you want to know the worst part about the whole thing? Until she answers the door, I completely forgot the whole reason this kid is doing all this is to get back to his sister. Like, I completely forgot that until she opened the door. Which goes to show, you can't have something like this, a two-part episode. And I have so little interest that I can't remember the plot.
That's true. I don't know. What I thought was interesting, I guess, which is kind of part of that, though, I think the fact that they ended up doing it from both sides and showing Brian and him and Finola and her all trying to get back together, I actually thought was interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. I've said before, I don't think that they needed 2 hours to tell the story.
No. It comes down to one basic thing. They didn't need 2 hours to do the episode. Finola and Brian are not close enough for this to happen. I think if it happens later in the season or even season two, it plays better, at least for me. I enjoy the episode.
No, I agree with that.
I like Groundhog Day type episodes for shows. They're always fun, but we're having fun in a show that we don't even know the rules to yet.
So I thought this was a better episode. Maybe my least hated episode of the entire season. You know how much I don't like this show, and I thought this was maybe a high point. I don't mind that it was two episodes. Did it need to be? I don't know. But I liked, the Brian perspective, and then we got more of a Finola perspective this week. I thought that played okay. I thought, in general, the science fiction was better than many, many of the other episodes about what the debris does. Like, this, they actually spent some time trying to figure out what the debris does and how to reverse it, which they almost never do. They almost never really bother spending any time thinking about the debris. So I appreciated, actually paying attention to what it does, what its risks are, how can we undo it. So I totally agree with you that I feel like they have not – I do not see the relationship with Brian and Finola on the screen. I don't see the chemistry. And you know, AJ and I talked about this last week, Jamie, and we all agree that this is not a romantic relationship. When he says he wants to get back to her, that it's more about the let's face it, he has no family or friends. As far as we can tell, the only friend he has is Maddox, who's probably a bad guy.
Great, but they don't even seem like they're, the best of friends. That's the other thing.
Right.
Even if they were just really good friends, I could have bought it more.
Yes. So I don't really buy this, she's so important, I've got to get back to her. Only because they told us on paper, and I'm looking back to, I can see that between Mulder and Scully by season two. I can see that between Peter and Olivia, even at the end of season one, right? Great partners of science fiction. I can even see that if you guys watch Project Blue Book, where the two main characters are sort of antagonistic towards each other, but I can really see that even between them. But these two, I don't see chemistry between them. As friends, as partners, as anything. So I agree with you that that was terrible. But I just thought the science fiction of it was a little better. I did think there was some good work being done in, the way, Finola goes to another reality where her father's dead and then her father's alive, and, the sort of emotional roller coaster of, she comes out of a reality where her father's dead and then the next reality her father's alive. And it does beg the question. So that bit with Maddox, Jamie, where we see Maddox trying to convince his wife not to divorce him. And then by the end of it, when Finola and Brian come back to their own reality, supposedly, we see this version where Maddox doesn't try to go meet his wife at the restaurant, and he gets the divorce papers. And he still says no, 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 he doesn't want to divorce. But we see him take different actions. So that begs the question, what's going to happen? Did they come back to their, their reality? Are they in a different reality? Did jumping around change? We saw a change, right? And so I guess maybe what we saw of Maddox the first time was not our reality, and what we saw the second time is our – I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that way. I thought maybe I misunderstood it. I was confused.
I did think about that. And I'm going to go with – obviously, it is important because otherwise, why do they show us? But I'm going to go with the first thing we see was not our reality, because in that reality, he wasn't with his sister. So we start in the wrong reality.
Okay.
Oh, that's true. So we were weren't in our own reality from the beginning then. So you're saying what we saw was never our reality. That actually makes a lot of sense. I hadn't thought about that. The one problem I have with it, though, that didn't make as much sense is I understood that they were twins and they had to both be there at the same time, but she made it sound like all four of them had to be there at the same time, which to me made no sense because that Finola was irrelevant, because that Finola was not our Finola.
So, which
yeah.
that could not be our Brian, all too, right. technically, like you're saying. But that part was like, but she's not even the right one. So whether or not her and Brian are there completely should be completely irrelevant.
Well,
I felt like.
Whether or not Finola is there, I agree with that. But Brian, I feel like, should be there simply because he also has gone and jumped through the debris.
Yeah. I do
right,
think the twins
right.
were a red herring. Like, I don't think it really had to do with them being twins because they're fraternal twins. They're not
well, no,
identical.
That didn't matter.
So it could just be any brother and sister. The fact that they were twins was
well, yeah,
didn't really
right.
yeah, that,
have
that,
to do
that
with
the
bilateral
anything.
Whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that has nothing to do with
like
anything, I don't think.
Split.
Yeah.
It's almost like they split into different realities. Because that's the thing, too. It was also like it wasn't even clear at the beginning, like, if they traveled or they were – like some universes
yeah.
were moving, like it was confusing, which I don't mind. I mean, that was cool, and I like how they wrapped it up and figured it out. But and I agree with you, too. Thinking about it now, it was nice that they actually investigated, which they don't tend
well,
to
well, they
do.
Had no
they
choice.
Never do.
They did get two episodes,
well,
but
here's the difference.
That's the problem.
But here's the difference why they had to investigate. Because if they didn't do what they had to do, then they would have never corrected the problem. And all the other episodes, they get the debris and they ship it off. You know, once they find the debris and take care of the immediate threat, they don't have anything to do with it afterwards. They would have done the same thing in this episode if they weren't involved. Like, they actually became
yeah.
part
yeah.
of the whole debris debacle.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it
yeah.
would
have
been the same thing. I mean, think about
it. Better, too, because they did become involved.
Well, because it was Brian's mistake. Brian did it by
right,
jumping
but I'm
in the
saying,
water.
I think that
first...
maybe made – but what I'm saying is them being involved, I think, made it a better episode, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, maybe if they were normally
involved – Yeah, no, I understand
what
you're saying. I actually
more,
agree with that.
It would be better, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did like these ones. Don't know that it needed two of them, but I did like them.
Yeah.
It just seems
so,
a weird
right.
one to make a double one about, you know, especially because it wasn't
right.
really mythology. I would do want
yeah.
to know,
yeah.
though, if that Finola
well,
remembered her father. I hope so.
I don't think she did.
I mean, obviously, that was probably not.
Oh, father's a terrible
yeah.
name.
So, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? It doesn't matter because it wasn't even our Finola. So.
No, I know. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And like you said, it might not even
right.
have been our Brian. But anyway.
Yeah. yeah. The more you think about it, it might not have
so,
been.
So.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's it
all
for
right.
debris. Okay.
All right. My favorite show is
right.
Big Sky.
I was going to say we're going to do Big Sky. Now, as
Big
I said,
Sky.
Big Sky has been renewed. So everybody knows that they did renew Big Sky. Unfortunately, I also
oh,
found
Big
out
Sky.
They canceled Regulars from Netflix, which upsets me, but that's neither here nor there.
Regulars?
All right. So Big, yeah, the one that's sort of like a Sherlock Holmes show that I told you guys to watch. That you
oh,
obviously
yeah.
didn't, but that's okay. but anyway, so this has been renewed. It's coming back to ABC, whether we complain or not. Trying to think which episode this was. So this is the
this
one
is,
where...
Okay.
I want to call
episode...
Brian. His name isn't Brian. Why am I calling him Brian?
Timmy, this is the episode where Blake was already killed at the end of last week.
Right.
And Cheyenne saw it. And so this is the episode where
she throws him
Jenny...
off a cliff.
Yeah,
I am so confused with her motivation. I mean, I guess we're supposed
well,
to be,
yeah.
but it's like she's using it to blackmail her brother, so it seems like she's bad, but yet at the same time, she kind of sounds like she wants to tell them something's going on. So, yeah, I'm very confused by her motivation. But the part that I find interesting, the part I want to know about, one of the only parts I want to know about, is I want to know how the hell that body got in that sister's freezer and who put it there. That's what I'm interested in.
I know.
I know, too. It's the ex.
I think the other sister's bad.
It's Phoebe's father,
yeah.
Steve. It's Phoebe's father,
yeah.
Steve. It's her
yep.
Remember, she was like,
oh,
don't
yeah,
worry I'm... about my ex, Ronald. He's never, Arthur.
Yeah,
my
yeah
ex
I definitely
never coming
that
back.
She's the one that killed somebody.
She
I definitely
killed
think
him.
It's
yeah.
her that killed somebody.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. She killed him and stuck him in the sister's freezer.
But yeah, that's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
The question is, did the sister Mary know that he was there, which is kind of irrelevant because she's dead now, but...
No, I don't think she does.
I don't think she does either.
And,
she killed
and the reason
her
I don't,
ex and put her in her sister's freezer.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think
yeah.
she knows because she's all worried about her sister's safety. Had she known that her sister murdered her ex, I don't think she'd be as worried about her.
That's a good point. But Karen's right, too. It's
I hadn't
kind of
thought of that, AJ.
Because she's dead.
That's a good point. She can take all care right. of herself.
Since we started with Ronald... I would just like to tell you all the ways that I love Ronald. I was very happy to see that Ronald went and he just couldn't do it anymore and he had him buy himself a new rig. So Ronald and his and this way he could talk to his mommy, or at least her picture.
Oh yeah.
In the privacy of his cab. Here's before I get to my favorite part of Ronald, how the hell did he get the body out of the house? He's crouched behind the couch. They're standing by the door that entire time. It goes to commercial.
Yep.
It comes back. They're leaning on the rail, and Ronald is gone.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. He had no time.
Like,
did they not know how
they were going to pull that off either? So they figured nobody will remember. Nobody will remember between the commercial breaks that this just all of a sudden happened. I had a huge problem with
that.
But.
Yep.
The thing that makes up for it all, okay, and this is going to be, this is going to be my new favorite slogan in the world. Liar, liar, busy lady in the blanket on fire.
No, wait, what? You're so busy laughing. I have no idea what you said. What?
Sorry, let me try again. Liar, liar, busy lady in the blanket on fire.
You can't even say it without dissolving into laughter. Now I'm going to lose it. When Ronald had Mary wrapped up in that blanket on the couch and he's threatening to set her on fire, instead of saying liar, liar, pants on fire, he said, liar, liar, busy lady in the blanket on fire. What did he say, AJ? He said, liar, liar,
liar,
busy lady
liar, liar.
In the blanket.
On fire. Yes.
Liar, liar, who? Liar, liar. Busy
liar,
lady.
Liar, busy lady in the blanket on fire.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Did he say that or you said that? I don't remember him saying
that. No, he said that. Ronald said that.
Did he? Okay, see, I don't remember. I'm not remembering that
you
for some reason.
Ronald's always like
I guess it
singing.
Just wasn't as funny when he said it.
Yeah.
It was just funny when I said
it. It was hilarious. It was
well,
so
No,
so
you don't understand.
Dumb.
When he originally said it, Artie and I stopped and looked at each other and just started busting out laughing, going, wait a minute, what did he just say? Like, that was
it's
just.
So ridiculous.
And, yeah, because like the whole time he's talking to her, he's like, you've been a busy lady. What's a busy lady do? Can I check your search history, busy lady? Like the whole time. And then how disturbing was it when he was slicing up her face? Holy crap!
Yeah,
when he lost his shit.
That was.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, and it's funny because Artie's like, wow, he's never really been like that bad. I was like, but remember, his mother always alluded to him having some sort of incident that we've never. Known about. I'm pretty sure we just found out the type of incident he had.
So I didn't really like that they had Mary have all those dolls in her house because I felt like they were trying to make Mary seem like Mary was sort of the
creepy.
More with it and cooler sister who was worried.
Maybe it
and
was just
her,
supposed to be
well,
a red herring. She thought she killed
her,
the person in the freezer.
Well,
that's the only
thing I can think,
which is really lame.
I think it was lame to make Mary seem kind of kooky because she likes dolls. It also made me think of Seinfeld and that episode where Susan has the dolls and one looks like George's mom. But I think the whole setup was an excuse to have Ronald with that doll in the cab in the last scene.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking to the doll.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Because they just wanted to make Ronald seem cuckoo, so they had to make Mary seem a little weird with these dolls. I mean, I shouldn't say the people who have dolls are weird. I mean, dolls might have been a very valuable doll collection, actually. Susan's doll collection. Susan's doll collection was worth like millions, right, on Seinfeld. But I think it was a setup just to have Ronald take the doll from the house. So I think that Ronald's girlfriend is going to find out he's a killer, and I don't think it's going to bother her very much.
I don't either, but she's a killer too.
I agree.
She's a killer too, yeah. Although, we don't really know. Okay, I'm not making an excuse because there's no excuse for killing a person and putting them in your sister's freezer. I'm just putting it out there that it's wrong right now, okay?
I thought it was okay.
But we don't... sorry. I led you guys to believe I thought that was okay. It's not.
Okay.
But we don't really know if he could have been an abusive person or whatever, and she killed him in self-defense, but then maybe she would have told the cops, right? Like, we know that she's cuckoo. She's as crazy as Ronald, probably.
Yeah.
He probably tried to leave her. That would be my guess, the way she acts. I think he probably tried to leave her.
Yeah.
Here's my next question, though, Karen. Where do you stand on people putting their doppelgangers in freezers?
Oh, like on Resident Alien? Well, it's totally. I mean, if you're trying to destroy the planet, then it's totally reasonable. But I do think putting in the sister's freezer is kind of dumb. Like, if Mary didn't know, wouldn't Mary eventually be like, I think I'll have a steak tonight and go down to her freezer? Like, eventually she's going to find. So Steve was decomposing and looked like he'd been in there for a very long time, right? Mary hasn't looked in her freezer?
Yeah, based on Kathy's reaction, I'd say he's been in there for a minute. She's like, oh, no, that guy's been there a while. I mean, they both were like, oof.
Yeah, and so Mary hasn't eaten any steak lately, unlike on Resident Alien.
Going by this, the way this show is, I think you're just supposed to not think about it.
Right. Yes, thank you.
There's a lot of things on the show like that. They just don't want you.
Here's the final thing I want to say about Ronald. If they do not catch him with it before the end of the season, then they should just hand in their badges, because they now know how to find him. They now know. All they got to do is connect him to the sister. And I mean, come on now. Mary is missing. This guy is a fed, so he's going to know the proper channels. I mean, Kathy, I'm pretty sure, does too, how to look up shit and go to the next of kin and say, hey, you know, we're supposed to meet with
your sister.
We found blood. You know, where's your sister? Oh, that's a nice picture of you and your boyfriend. And Kathy go, oh, my God, that's Ronald in a really bad wig. Because Ronald is dumb.
Won't they DNA test
Ronald's
their body
dumb.
And find out that it's, Ronald is dumb. I mean, Ronald went to the club. Ronald only moved like an hour away from the town where he killed everyone.
Yeah.
And then he showed up in the bar where Jerry was singing. And
that's not even
That's not even the dumb I was going with, though. He goes to the cemetery and like they don't even try to catch him when this happens.
That's dumb also, yeah. Killing her sister was dumb.
That's not even it either. He's gonna get rid of the body and then he's gonna go back to the sister.
Yeah.
So they gotta do is sit on the sister's house to catch him.
Yeah, like if you kill someone's sister, then you need to not go back and live with her. Like you need to leave town. Right?
Okay.
Ronald is
Karen.
You're right.
Well, that's why they're going camping.
You're talking about a guy who killed his mother, is on the federal manhunt list, and he moved an hour away from where he committed his crimes.
I know.
So that he could go back and visit mommy. So, Ronald's totally going back to that house.
He frankly is disgraceful. He hasn't been caught yet. You're right. It's terrible.
I mean, he's got a bad wig. He's fine. He's fine. He doesn't need a beard. He's got a bad wig.
I would hope that Cassie and her new Marshall partner catch him by the end of the season, because I don't think we want to watch another season of them trying to find this guy, right?
No. Absolutely not.
No.
We shouldn't still be watching it.
Watch another season of that.
The other ridiculous, horrible storyline of unlikable characters who they're so unlike. Every single character in this town is horrible. Let's start with the fact that there's never been a cop on the show that was competent or not. Like, most of the cops on the show are either evil or incompetent. Like, we've never seen a cop that. So we've got this local sheriff who is maybe the worst cop. Okay, he's not as bad as what's his name? He's not a human trafficker.
It's so weird hearing him without a British accent, though. I'm sorry. Every time I hear him talk, I'm like, what the hell? It just doesn't fit because I've never heard him not have an accent. Yeah, sorry. I just had to bring that up.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
No, because he had the accent on General Hospital, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
he was playing an Australian. He is an Australian character.
Yeah.
He was playing an Australian.
Yeah, he played an Australian,
Hospital.
Anyway, I mean, he's horrible. I mean, all the cops on this show are not really, I mean, that's why we have to put our faith in private investigators, but every character on the ranch is horrible. Like, there's not one redeeming person. Okay, so Blake was the only good person, and he's dead, right?
The mother was good, but she's not really done anything, so.
Is she good? I mean, she is party to this. Okay, she's on drugs now. She probably went on drugs because her family was horrible. That's the only way she wouldn't deal with them. But
Mom.
She's allowed a lot of dysfunction to happen around her for a long time. Like, she's not without blame of raising dysfunctional children. So we find out that – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, not for nothing, she's been in an abusive relationship for 40 years.
For decades.
So, I mean – I agree with you to a point, but at the same time, I kind of give her a little, cut her a little slack. We saw last episode how he treats her, you know, and
you're right.
If she has no self-worth, what's she going to do?
So that makes me think of how she says to Cheyenne, you've got to leave. I do think Cheyenne knows her own self-worth. Actually, she has an inflated sense of self-worth, and yet she doesn't leave either.
Yes, she does.
So Cheyenne goes out of her way to throw Blake off the cliff to save John Wayne, right? Like, her brother John Wayne kills Blake.
She didn't do it to save him.
She did it to save him. She did it to save him, so she would have leverage
over him. I think she did it for both reasons.
Want to save him. She wants to save him so she can control him. I don't love that it's not really – okay, so I guess they're trying to slow burn it, but it's not clear what she hopes to achieve because I don't think she wants the ranch.
They haven't told us.
We talked about this last week.
No. Yeah.
I don't think she wants the ranch. I don't know why she doesn't leave town. This child has a lot of agency and a lot of self-worth. I don't know why she's still there. I don't really know why anyone lives in this horrible town on this horrible ranch. I'm no longer sure.
Yeah, and
if
she's really horrible, why is she telling Jenny, I still don't know which is which, but why is she telling
Jenny.
Her about...
I can't believe she gave her Cole's name. That was amazing that she gave her Cole's name, I thought.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like... It's almost like she has a split personality. Like, she wants them not to get caught, but she wants them to get caught. So I'm not sure. I don't know what.
Well,
she wants.
Because
I guess we'll find out.
I think she wants to control John Wayne, but I don't think she gives two shits about Rand.
Okay, Rand is insane. And did you see when Rand wanted to save the bone, and then he did save a bone in the end? Like, that's like a serial killer move, right?
Killer,
or a trophy like that.
Yeah.
I can't believe that he is still, like, I don't know. He's probably killed a lot more people than we know about. And he, like, I just can't believe these people have never been caught. The big question is how these people are able to control all the law enforcement and the whole town around them. Like, what is it that everyone's so afraid of?
We were about to find out, but then a truck drove through the hotel.
Oh my god, that was insane! That was pretty over the top.
I'm pretty sure that even though Jenny grabbed her and dove out of the way, I'm pretty sure the receptionist is going to end up being dead because she was just about to tell Jenny the big secret.
Yeah.
And you know what though?
Yeah.
I gotta say, I like the way that they actually filmed it because it kept flipping between Jenny and Ronald, and you see Ronald driving and you hear the truck in Jenny's part of it, and you're like, you know, it's kind of like, wait, what? And then once you see the other truck, you're like, oh, like I like the way they juxtaposed that. I thought that was kind of well done, actually.
So who do you
think it was?
It was
also like a surprise too. Like I definitely didn't expect it to be Rolling Crew all of a sudden. It made you jump.
It's John and Rand. Remember when they said we gotta go pay Jenny a visit? It's them.
Okay, but I'm okay with that. But
it
I'm okay
seems
with
like
that
dumb
on one level. But doesn't that seem sort of dumb and excessive? Like, aren't there other ways to kill a person without drawing quite so much attention? I know. They're not very bright. They're very dumb people. But it seems like a very excessive way to kill them and not guarantee.
I got to tell you my funny analogy. When John Wayne tells Rand to keep an eye on Cheyenne, and he goes, you want me to do something about her? And he goes, no, don't do anything yet. I just want you to watch her. I immediately was like, that's not like asking a rattlesnake to watch a mouse. You know the rattlesnake's going to eat the mouse. It's not going to just watch it. It's going to eat it. You just asked your crazy brother to keep an eye on your sister who is causing you trouble. That's not going to end well.
Probably not.
Yeah. Although I think holding on to this bone is going to be Rand's downfall. But also, Cheyenne have the Cheyenne has the belt buckle, right? Cheyenne has Cole's belt buckle. In
I know she picked it up.
Disposed,
I don't know if she.
Right?
Yeah, I know she picked it up.
Yeah,
I don't know
she
if she kept it.
It
or not. They didn't show us. She does have it. Okay. However,
I'm pretty sure that she
dug
it specifically to have it.
I really wonder. I really wonder sometimes. Because she's a she's you know I mean there's a lot of fairly big name actors on the show now, but when she growled, I lost some of my respect for her as an actress when she growled at him like she's because she's got this whole mentality that she's the white lion.
Yeah,
again,
that's
the writers. It's not necessarily her fault. The writers and the directors. Actually, that part's the director's fault,
well,
too.
The writers wrote it,
it
director directed it, and she agreed to do it.
That's true, but a lot of times I think the actors don't necessarily have a say in it. So,
okay, it was all, we can all agree that it was terrible and stupid.
Yeah, it was terrible and stupid.
It took me a second. When she growled in his face there for a second, I was like, why did she? Oh, she's the white lion.
I know, and I feel like stuff like
that
stuff like that goes a long way in making this show hard for me to watch. Like, it makes the show just seem even more ridiculous. I mean, okay,
we
did see someone drive a truck into a hotel room to stop two women from having a conversation. Like, that was ridiculous also. Ronald is ridiculous. So much of the show is horrible, but in a show that is bad, the roar stands out as especially bad.
Yeah, because up to that point, I felt like Cheyenne was we don't exactly know all her motives yet, but she's a pretty good character until the growl. The growl killed her.
She's like the most normal
person
in
her
entire family until then.
It's like
you can't
take her seriously now.
This was renewed. Because I don't even think it was doing that good. Are you guys surprised this was renewed? Because I didn't even think it was doing that good.
I'm not surprised. You want to know why I'm not surprised? Because the bad shows get renewed and the good shows get canceled.
Well, I also think maybe because of COVID, I think because of COVID, there might not have been a lot of stuff that made pilots and went into early production, and maybe
that's
they don't
too.
Have a lot of choices right
true.
Now.
Things to fill it in, yeah.
That's
true, too.
I do think Cheyenne had potential to be sort of the best. We talked about this last week, AJ, that she's the smartest person in the family, probably. Take your potential. I'm also a little disappointed, but I have hope for the mother because Michelle Forbes is a fantastic actress who has done so many good things. And I don't think Michelle Forbes signed on for a character that's only going to cry and be miserable. Like, all she's done is cry and be abused for the last, like, three or four episodes, right? And I feel like if I'm Michelle Forbes, I'm waiting for this great actress to, like, have her character stand up and have a spine and do something, right?
I'm sure it'll happen eventually because I can't see Michelle Forbes signing on to a role where she, like you said, all she does is cry and that's pretty much all she's done.
I mean, I did really feel, I mean, she did some good work and I did really, I mean, when it came out that Blake was dead, I mean, she, you know, like, I felt how devastating that would be for her. We didn't really get to see her entire grief, but she did good work. And I think what was notable was the lack of grief on the part of the father. The father's like, oh, he was a good boy. And the father's like, kind of like, whatever. But not really that. The father, right? The father wasn't really that sad. He's like, oh, he was a good boy, but, you know, I mean,
he's evil.
he's far more concerned with protecting John Wayne and Rand than he ever has been with Blake. And that, it's a little, to me, that's a little confusing. Like, they haven't done a good job of explaining why. Just because Blake, like,
why
to sit
he cares
on a rock
about
and
the
write
crazy
poetry
son.
And he, yeah. He couldn't control he couldn't control Blake, but
yeah. That's why.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah. You guys, this show is bad. I'm not watching season two unless something amazing happens in the next 2 weeks. I'm not watching season two.
Yeah,
they
I'm
gotta write a better story and pay for some better wig for me to watch the show.
Yeah, they definitely need better wigs.
Well, so, like I said last
week. I don't know.
Week,
this to me is one of those shows that you watch, but you complain about the whole time, but you still want, I don't know. Like, I still want to know what happens.
No,
I'm not saying it's written
for me,
well. I'm not saying that it's good. I'm just saying I want to know what happens.
For me, this is one of those shows that I watched because Jamie suggested it and we covered it on the podcast.
I didn't. Did I first? Oh, I suggested the beginning when I thought it was something else. I think that.
All right. Anything else?
The other shows are a lot
about that.
No.
All right. So Manifest.
I think that's it. Let's move on to Manifest. Yep.
Our two-hour Manifest. So Karen, I take it you didn't like it.
Karen.
Did we lose Karen?
Maybe she disappeared. Yeah. I guess I don't know. My thing is, I didn't think it was bad till they had a weird-ass smoke monster. And then I was like, okay, that's enough. And I was like,
they
the
smoke monsters?
The
they were the shadows.
No, I know, but you know what I mean. But I don't know. Like, it was okay, and I liked the way they did it, and they were able to redeem themselves. And it's like, nope. Although it was sad. Like, I get it. It worked. I just don't like the way I don't know. It was just weird the way they did it to me. It was just, like, so bizarre. Karen, well, I guess I'll have to wait for her to come back.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Just
did you like
drop.
It?
I did. I had I've liked this season quite a bit, actually. Maybe because part of it's because of all the Egyptian mythology that they've been putting into the show. Oh, there she is. Let me bring her back. Did we lose you? Maybe we still don't have her.
Oh, hello?
Oh, there you go. There she is. And now we lost her again,
so,
I think.
Can you
so,
hear me?
Anyway.
Yeah, we can.
Okay, yeah. You keep.
Sorry,
you
I was talking and talking. I was talking for a while, and then my phone decided to switch speakers to my headphones without me telling it to.
Okay, well, we just didn't hear you when you started then. So we're like, where'd she go? All right. So,
yeah, what
sorry
I,
about
what
that.
I had said was, no, it's all right. How I started the Manifest conversation was, Karen, I take it you did not like this episode very much.
And then there was silence.
Based on your text messages. Yeah.
Yeah, so I actually thought that running this as a two-hour thing made sense. I really sort of, like, having them back-to-back and playing the whole thing out over 2 hours, I felt like it kind of worked for me in that sense. I'm glad they just ran it on one night. We got the whole story.
And they're doing that again next week.
I have a lot
next
of,
week, too.
Next week is 2 hours also, yeah. But I think, like, these 2 hours really felt like one show. It made sense to put them together on one night.
Yes.
I feel like I'm glad that a big chunk of this this meth head business has not worked for me for a long time. I'm glad that's over. I'd say the highlight for me is like Bloody Grace firing a gun. Like, I'm like, wait, suddenly we find out that she was raised in the woods and knows how to shoot and her gun's around and blah, blah. And she, like, I don't know. Like, I was like, whoa, it was crazy and out there, but I sort of enjoyed that. But
yeah, I kind of liked that.
I thought it was so obvious he was going to die, though. I think, like, as soon as he's like, I'm going to get the gun.
Yeah, I was pissed about that.
He was. I was
yeah,
too.
I didn't like
I was pissed about
him.
That.
They didn't need to.
I feel like they
did he know
so much
then
backstory
the guy
for Grace.
That the reporter, the one thing I was going to ask is, did he know that the reporter was listening to him then talking about the restaurant? Because I wasn't sure.
No, he had no
like
idea.
Maybe he talked to him, but I didn't know. Because otherwise, I'm not sure why he thinks it was his fault, like how he would know.
I think,
I guess anybody could have heard him.
Just because he was
kind
of talking about it in the bar.
He ran his mouth irresponsibly.
Yeah.
He ran his mouth irresponsibly.
Yeah,
I was irritated that we got all this Grace backstory all of a sudden that we never knew about her, and then they killed the brother immediately. And I felt like,
that was a bad move, I felt.
She's been such a bad character for a long time, and they finally give her a little bit of something, and then they just, like, don't work with it. So that bothered me. But the meth head storyline has a bad story in my for me, it hasn't worked. Also, Angelina and what's his name, the boyfriend in jail, that has made no sense from the beginning, right? Like, it makes
the fact
no
that they're already in love with
each
other.
Like they meet each other on the street. They're like, you're in the picture, I'm in the picture, and he goes to jail immediately. So they have no relationship whatsoever besides the picture.
But she's in love with
him being
she's
in jail.
Supposed to be like smart.
Well, and I'm sorry, but they have no chemistry. Like, I've seen no sparks between those two actors on screen, and I'm not necessarily blaming the actors, especially Holly Taylor, who I think is fantastic. But they gave us nothing to make us believe that they had an attraction, except. So anyway, the whole business was just, Jace was terrible, Corey was terrible, they were all terrible characters. I'm so glad they're dead. Sorry. Are you guys glad they're dead also? Or am I just really...
I don't care either way.
Jace is dead. I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was sad. But yeah, I agree. I'm not sure why they were... It never made sense to me that she was in love with him. But I think it's sad the fact that they made the right choice and they still died. I think it's interesting. I just was kind of like, that smoke monster was so over the top crazy. I was like, what the hell? Like, I don't know. That irritated me. I mean, it made me think Lost.
Well, that was the shadow.
The shadow.
Right?
But yeah, that's what I
the
said.
The shadow people.
Now,
it was
here's the funny thing.
A little crazy there.
Now, here's the funny thing, okay? You know, I mean, the basis of the show is this plane disappears for 5 years and the people haven't aged, but everybody else around them has.
Oh, yeah.
And this, you know, I was telling Jamie while you were gone, you know, I think part of the reason I really like this season is the Egyptian mythology. But, here we are, you know, I mean, you know, it's been a question, is it divine? Is it scientific? Is it a wormhole? Is it this? Yeah, all these supernatural aspects that it could be. And it wasn't until seeing the shadow monster that I really went, holy crap, what is going on with this show? Like, it took, knowing all these other things, I was fine. Seeing that shadow monster, I went, well, holy crap, this is some kind of, there's, you know, something divine here, or, you know, going on, because how else do you explain this? Like it took that. You know, a normal person would look at me and be like, really? It's just now hitting you? Something's not right.
Yeah.
No, but I think he's kind of seeing what I'm saying. Like, it was so over-the-top crazy all of a sudden. It's like, it didn't, I don't know, to me,
it
I don't
hits
know if
you.
It fit.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Like, it was
you're right.
Kind
it kind
of like,
hits you.
Well, out of place,
It might fit. Here's the thing, though.
It might. Depends how they continue.
And because of this moment, the way the episode ended, it makes me I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, and I'll explain myself, but I got a Lost vibe in a bad way. I feel like...
You're in a Lost vibe in a bad way, too. It was a smoke monster that split in three pieces.
Oh, no, I had nothing to do with
it.
Not once did it remind me of the smoke monster. What it reminded... What it made me...
Instantly what I thought.
What it made me think of is I feel like they're writing the show, and my fear is it's either A, going to get canceled before we get answers, or B, they have no idea where they're going with this, and they're making it up as they go along.
I kind of agree
with
that.
Well, I will say that I know from doing the interviews that the one who's the head of it, he has said, and they've said the same thing too, that he has like I think it's like a 5-year plan or something. So suppose, now whether he's telling the truth or not, I don't know, but he's saying that he knows where it's going and has the whole thing planned out.
So I'll say, Jamie, I did immediately think of the smoke monster from Lost, of course. But from having watched the show, I know that the three shadows that Cal's been seeing, it was It was really kind of about that, right?
So that was the first
really
season two then? Because maybe that's why, like, to me, it's like I didn't
going on
nowhere because I didn't see the first
season.
Season
two. I think you watched, I think it's been going on since Cal started having visions, and he's been drawing those pictures, and So you are missing a part of the three shadows, but it did look like the smoke monster from Lost. But
I guess my thing was, it's not that the moment and the meaning of it, like I said, it was like sad, and it was kind of like they went through all this and they still died, and it's interesting. But I feel like to me, the effect was like so sudden and over the top that it kind of
It was a bad effect. You're right.
Yeah.
I agree. It was kind of sad that, like, two of the three – okay, so two of the three were redeemed. I don't know. So Pete
–
so, you know, Pete resisted and resisted and resisted until – I mean, was Pete redeemed? Pete resisted and didn't want to do it, but he eventually did do the right thing. Corey was, like, very minor in the storyline, and he at the last minute decides to save Cal, whatever, for whatever reason. It is kind of sad that they made a good choice. And then they weren't. Then they were taken by the smoke monster.
See,
perhaps their choice was not enough. I mean, so the other thing is that, you know, Olive finds this piece of parchment, and puts it in, and she's like, "Oh my God, it's not what we were thinking." They're all being judged together, which kind of, you know, on the one hand, like, does that make sense? I don't know, because...
Does that mean everybody on the plane is going to be judged together? I think that's the big question.
And so Zeke,
I think they are.
Zeke was judged alone. Zeke was judged by himself. He was one person. That guy who drove the ambulance into the water was judged by himself. He was one person, right?
Yep.
Now we have the three methods, and now we've got the plane. So are they all being judged together? Does that make sense?
I think they are.
I think one question for me that is more that bothers me more is, like, why them? Like, okay, the plane is one thing. The plane has a mixture of people who are mostly good, but some of them are maybe, you know, I mean, we've seen some of them who are not the greatest people, a good person. The methods, not good people. Like, why were they, like, who gets chosen and why to come back?
Right.
Maybe it did have to do with Cal. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing I can think, but it doesn't necessarily make sense.
All I have to say
Cal,
is this is all I can say about that is redeem together or die together.
Live together, die alone.
Can we talk a little bit about Zeke's big empathy? So Zeke now feels people's feelings and empathy. And yet, as Jamie pointed out, he doesn't feel his fiancée's arm is dislocated, and you know how to fix it, but you don't. Like, he made her Jamie's why did he make her climb up the cliff and then fix
the cliff first, and then fix it. Because there's no way she could have done that with a dislocated. I mean, there's absolutely no way. She would have been screaming in agony. He would have had to have fixed it first.
But then,
I don't know, because I never had it happen, but I think once you put it back in, it quits hurting, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it didn't even make sense. She wouldn't fix it right away.
After he does that, or right before, they have this big moment of empathy where, like, they both feel each other's feelings, and we see this, like, shockwave that's almost like a nuclear, like, we see this big shockwave go out, right?
Yeah.
What was that about? I thought that was maybe saying that part of the, I thought at first it was saying, like, that part of the calling was fulfilled or something. I thought maybe. I mean, I don't know that it necessarily makes sense, but, again, I haven't seen the whole show.
You want to know the point of the shockwave? To knock the basketball over so that they knew where everybody was.
There is that.
You're right. I mean, the idea – so Zeke has beaten his death date, and now he feels incredible empathy, and he can feel people's feelings, and he's got this sort of power to, like, you know, I don't know what his power is, but so far his power is only to help Beverly feel better. But he's got this, you know, and he's like,
good
oh, Zeke. It is. And he's also, like,
help
Pete flying. I mean, like, he has that shockwave. Like, was it multiplied by Michaela hasn't beaten her death date yet, so she can't have the same power, I don't think. But I don't know. It all kind of doesn't make sense. To me, and, you know, I've always felt like Zeke is sort of this extraneous character that's trying to make it important, but he's not really important. in the meantime, okay, talk to me about Vance. Ava, you go first about Vance, and then Jamie, you talk about Vance. Because Vance is pissing me off.
That was the best part about the second part of the second episode. There was no Sandy. Yeah, Vance kind of pissed me off too. You know, I actually, when we were, that one part when him and Sanvi were teaming up against Ben, I was like, Vance and Sanvi suck. Like, I don't, you know, and like, Sanvi has completely, like, Sanvi, you know, Sanvi's an interesting character because she comes from a very religious background, but she herself is entirely engulfed in science. So she refuses to believe that it can possibly be anything else. But there's all these coincidences going on around her that are just too coincidental to be anything other than divine or supernatural in some way, shape, or form. But, like, knowing what she, you know, so, like, Sandy especially, like, Vance I can kind of get because, you know, he's still got that NSA mentality, even though he's kind of, like, on the outside looking in now. But yeah, I didn't like that Vance, you know, now that he's back in a position of power, he immediately was like, no, we need to test him. And it's like, haven't you all seen enough? And that doctor, she needs to die.
Yeah, I didn't like that he wasn't trying to help Ben, but I find kind of the thing interesting. I don't know if interesting is the right word, but Sanvi, you know, feels remorse for what she's done, whether it's for the right reasons or not. She is you know, I got to turn myself in. And he's just kind of like, it doesn't matter. It's too late now because you're going to screw everybody else up. So I don't know how I feel like that he's willing to do everything. I mean, I guess he kind of has to. But, like, I thought at first he was going to try to get Jared killed. I wasn't even sure. And then you find out, well, they're just, you know, weaving the story so it works out okay, and I get that he's doing it. But I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that part of it. But, again, I didn't see when it all went down in the first season. So, to me, it doesn't even have as much impact because I really know nothing about who the Major was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I didn't like that he
Major was
really more interested
in
experimenting on people. I mean, he seems like he's kind of not with them, and he's supposed to be on their side. And even Ben says, like, you know, are you on our side? I think I don't like that. So
to me, it's very disappointing that they've made Vance – it's like they flipped a switch and made Vance be, like, a government, like, not – like, Vance has been such a good – yes, he's been such a good partner to – Ben and really trying to find the answers, and now he's back on the inside and they flip the switch and he's like a total jerk, right? So I'm not sure if it's set up and he's playing a part, but it doesn't seem like that. It seems like he's really like, we can get answers if I do. He seems to have, like, everything I've known about Vance for a long time, it's just gone, and now he's like this more stereotypical government lackey, as Jamie said, and I really don't like what they've done with him.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't like that Sanvi's gone along with it. I understand that Vance knows Sanvi's secret that she killed the Major, but she's really just going along. That other doctor is the worst, and the idea that they're all just like, let's
turn
this on Pete. Like, the idea, like, Pete is here to be a lab, like, he was like a rat, a mouse that they were going to test.
Mm-hmm.
No, anything about him being a human being.
They're testing that other lady, but she's dead already, so it's not so bad.
And that Vance had no sympathy. Kayla was in danger, and Pete had the answers, and, like previously, Vance was very interested in helping people. Now he's just, like, to me, this 180-degree change in Vance is I'm not down with that.
No, I agree.
And so then we saw this very ridiculous kind of moment where, Ben is like, I need Pete. Fine, you can experiment on me. Like, what? Ben would never, ever say that. And now he's going to make
I had a problem with that, too, but for a different reason. I agree with that. I can totally see Ben saying that in the moment. In the heat of the moment, Ben says and
does. That's what I'm thinking. He might disagree later.
What I didn't like was when Vance said, this isn't a favor, it's a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
not
cool. I didn't like.
That's very like Mr. NSA bad guy kind of thing to say, right?
Yeah.
And not being like a guy who's been a partner.
It's gonna,
Yeah,
it's going to end badly.
And then Bruce is like, how many times just to go save him? I mean, granted, I know that he doesn't appreciate it and he didn't want saved in that instance, but still, he still saved him whether he wanted it or not. You know what I mean? It was done as a show of good faith or whatever. You don't do that, so.
Yeah, I definitely don't understand making Vance into this, like, bad government guy that he never really has been from the jump. That bothers me a lot. That's a problem for the show. So we'll see where that goes, I guess. What happens with that? But yeah. So I guess the last thing I want to ask about is the Major. I sort of think the Major is going to come back to life and have a death.
Because that's what I was wondering too. I'm thinking like Pete and all them. Like they all died. And I'm like, yeah, but maybe they come back. You don't know who's going to come back. She could. I don't think that would make sense, but she could.
So AJ's like, hell no. So what is going to happen with the – why is the Major story being prolonged? Do you think the daughter is going to become a problem? And, Jamie, when you
That's
were not here
I'm
last
wondering.
Week – when you were not here last week, I was like – I brought up, I thought, maybe it's not really her daughter. Maybe the person who's talking to Jared is not her daughter but is an operative being, like, you know,
trying
to
find out what
happened. And,
yeah.
And AJ's like – AJ was like, he's right. AJ was like, no, Karen, that's dumb because that's not an effective way to get
answers.
No, I
think that makes
Go
sense.
Go to Jared.
Yeah, that's guys, I'll be right back, okay? I got to, like, mute the phone a second.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
So,
yeah, see,
I mean.
I didn't disagree with you. I feel like something's not right with that whole storyline to begin with because my whole thing is, like, Jared tells her this week that her mother said, the NSA knows the Major's dead. Okay, they don't know how. Only Vance knows that. But other people in the NSA, they did this whole elaborate thing where they found her fucking body in Louisiana or some shit. Okay.
Yeah, in New Orleans. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm back. I heard the majority of what you said.
Why don't you tell her next of kin? I don't understand this. If that is her daughter, why don't you tell her? And what really worries me now is that the entire point of that storyline was just to get Jared picked up by Vance and to tell him to back off. Like, I feel like if we never see the daughter, if we never see the daughter again, the storyline was absolutely useless and pointless.
Yeah.
Like, no, I know,
I don't really know that.
I want to see her again, but I do agree it could be somebody else. Sorry, I just want to interject that.
Because
do
we don't need that storyline.
Unless there's more to it.
Go ahead. Well, and we don't need it to heighten Sanvi's. We don't need it to heighten the tension with Sanvi because I do feel like one of the few things that I shouldn't say one of the few, but one of the things that works on the show is Sanvi's guilt and Sanvi's anxiety. Like every time, like I think that actress is doing a great job and they're writing her pretty well. And Sanvi is like on the edge every time we see her, and her guilt and trauma over that accidental killing is being, like, I don't need that.
Accidental?
I was going to say, how's that accidental?
Well,
all right. She injected her. I mean,
was it accidental?
It,
she injected her.
but she intended to give her the antidote also.
Yeah, she did.
Until she dropped it. Like, Fondy thought she had a good plan, and she did. Yeah, she should go to jail for it. I mean, it's manslaughter for sure. It's probably premeditated murder.
Yeah, I didn't know she had an antidote. You didn't tell me that.
Oh, yeah. She had the antidote in her hand, Jamie. And what happened was she dropped it and it broke. It was in a glass vial, which was stupid. It should have been in plastic, but it was in a glass vial. She dropped it. It broke. And then she was unable to inject the. So that's why the Major died.
Okay.
Sanvi
it was
never really
sort
intended
of an accident,
to
quasi
kill her.
Accident.
Yeah. It was quasi accident. Yeah. And so I do feel like we see Sanvi like really being on the edge with guilt every single time we see her on screen. And I don't think that I really needed the Major's daughter investigating to like for me to understand Sanvi's situation. So it is kind of a dumb, unnecessary storyline. If it's not going to go anywhere, then you're right, AJ. Let's just put an end to it and move on with Sanvi's personal like self-flagellation. Which is far more interesting anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anything else for this episode? Or do you think we've covered it all?
I guess we're good. I think we're good.
Why the heck is Kayla glowing? I know that's in a preview, but what the heck? But I want to know.
Why,
that didn't
what?
Make any sense.
The glowing hand?
Yeah, because
well,
I'm like not connected with why he was glowing. So I guess we'll have to find out. Like,
well, and AJ and
I
talked about last week. We talked about last week. So Ben has a glowing hand, right? Which is very interesting. Meanwhile, Sanvi appears to be working in that office every day, and no one says, "Hey, Sanvi, you were on the plane. Why don't you put your hand on and see what happens?"
That's a good point. Yeah, the thing is, though, we found out, though, that the his hand glowing wasn't necessarily to, like, I thought before it was because he connected with the plane, but then we found out it led him to that girl. So maybe it's more of, like, an advanced form of a calling type of thing, like a beacon, maybe, type of thing, if that makes sense.
Else has
I don't
it.
Know.
I don't know who's had it.
GPS.
I mean,
it's GPS.
No, but I'm saying now
GPS.
That she's... No, but I mean, it led him to that woman. So I'm just saying, like, maybe
yes,
it's going to lead
that was the whole
somewhere.
Point of it.
I don't know. I'm just...
No, yeah. I think that was the whole point. Excuse me.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. On
all
to
right,
Shadow and Bone, the overview.
Yeah. Now, are we
going to
discuss the whole thing or just... Yeah, I was going to say, whoops.
Yes.
The whole thing.
We've all seen the whole thing.
Okay. I didn't know if you guys had... All right. I think that, although I will say, when I said that I had trouble getting into the first time, I think when I watched it the first time, started to, I was really sleepy because I thought I had seen, like, at least an episode, maybe two, and that it was, like, going really slow. But when I went back to actually watch it, I had only seen, like, 15 minutes. So I think that I must have just been really sleepy that night or something because when I rewatched it, I started from the beginning, and I did enjoy it. Didn't feel like I did the first time. I got into it a lot easier. So I just wanted to mention that. So I think that was on me the first night. But I don't know. I like it. It's confusing. There's a lot going on, and I feel like I was questioning things a lot, trying to understand at the beginning what was going on. I will say that. But I don't know. What did you guys think?
Karen?
I enjoyed the show. I wouldn't say that it's my favorite. I'm not going to spend the off season like Googling and wondering, and I'm not going to read the books necessarily.
Right.
I thought it was really well made. I think there's some good actors in the show. I think the costumes were fantastic. I think the special effects were mostly good. It was shot in Hungary, which was really good. I thought it was. I mean, Netflix spent some money on it, and they did a good job. Right. Yeah. I liked the storyline. Part of the like the costumes was like I kind of liked this part where it's inspired by Imperial Russia and there's sort of this, you know, thing about a monarchy and a king and the politics. But mostly what I really like is the people. I mean, granted, it's a typical YA story about a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's a young woman who is an outsider and an outcast and thinks she's treated like a loser. Turns out she has powers to save the world. I mean, that's the topic of every single YA novel ever. But I think that this character learns some agency later in the story. She's not, you know, like if you read like a Twilight where Bella is completely her, you know, so many stories about so many stories about you meet a boy and part of meeting the boy is what makes you special.
Yeah.
And yes, this show is about a man who found her to be special, but I felt like Alina had a little she learned some agency. Like she always was a little bit, I don't know. I feel like this show did a little bit better job of like getting into her outsider status and making her find herself a little bit of agency. In the end, I think it ended. The end of the season ended really well. If it ends and doesn't get another season, I'm fine with the way it ended. But I'm also interested to see where it might go in a second season.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure exactly how. I mean, I guess they took things from different books, from what I understand.
Yes.
So I'm not sure exactly how it connects in that way. But yeah, I agree. Now, I like that they had that, and it was about her finding herself. And that I think that it's interesting, the quote at the end, too, right before she
cuts off the part of that stag is that she says you needed me, but I didn't need you. I mean, that's kind of the whole thing. I was thinking during the whole thing, though, all I kept thinking is just cut his hand off. And although I will kind of say I did kind of figure that the stag would help her because she was, like, willing to save it and that maybe she could have taken its powers without killing it. They just never gave it the chance. But obviously it was kind of bad. You say about, like, you need a guy and that part of the whole thing went downhill simply because she wouldn't kill the stag and she was trying too hard to save her friend, you know, which I understand, and obviously I have to do that. I wouldn't have wanted to kill the stag either, but she could have saved a lot of problems if she had just at that point killed it, taken the power, and, you know, killed the bad guy. I do find it interesting, though, that they had, like, that they devoted, and it wasn't till the end, but that you get kind of that backstory of the Darkling. I can't think of it. I'm seriously, I'm so bad anymore with names. I don't know why. I can't remember any names.
Alexander.
The Darkling.
Alexander.
General Kerrigan.
Alexander, yeah. The one is from the show. But I found it interesting that they kind of gave him that backstory, and partially that you had to, that they did wait till the end, but that that they kind of made him a little sympathetic at the beginning. I mean, obviously, it, you know, he went overboard and he got greedy and everything else. But I kind of found it interesting, and I wanted to see more of, and I know obviously it's just, you know, one season, you have to cut it out, but I wanted to know more of what exactly his plan was, because he did say, as much as he wasn't going to get rid of the Fold, he did say, like, he wanted to fix his mistake, and obviously it was not a mistake. She was right. He did it because he made that choice. But it was like, I don't know, sometimes I felt like maybe he at times regretted it, but then I felt like he more wanted to, maybe if he did want to fix things, it was only because he wanted to be the hero, not because he wanted to. And I thought that was, like, a really interesting part of seeing that kind of dichotomy of him. But I would have liked to have seen more in that. Like I said, obviously it's only 8 episodes. So, but I was interested in that. And it's interesting that he's still alive. I mean, I'm not surprised he's still alive. But, and obviously she'll eventually get rid of the Fold. I like the Crow characters, though. I kind of wondered through most of it. I'm like, they're kind of like the good guys. I'm like, they're the bad guys, but they're not. Like, they were the best, you know,
the anti-heroes.
Most, I guess, moral. Yeah, but they're like the most moral ones through most of the story, which was interesting. Oh, the other thing I wanted to ask you, make sure I was right about, and I don't know if it was just the way they said it, but all those girls, that was like a prostitution ring too, right? That was at that place. I mean, that was supposed to be. Okay.
Yes.
That's what, at the, I don't remember what it's called now. Some flower. Orchid.
The little
orchid.
Palace? The orchid. Yeah.
No.
The orchid.
Yeah.
At the orchid, yes.
Okay.
Yes, at the orchid for sure.
That's what I was gonna say. Yeah, because that's what I was saying. Even that girl, which, by the way, I think two of the best characters, I want to see more of the
Inez.
The what? The, I don't know what their name was, but the heart render and the guy that didn't speak English that was.
All right, let's put that aside for a second. Yeah.
No. Yeah, I just wanted to say that was like, they were like two of my favorite characters. But go ahead.
Yeah. AJ?
So I enjoyed, you know, the whole thing overall. It was enjoyable. I didn't feel like it was something that, one of those where it was like, oh my God, I can't wait to watch the next episode. It didn't have that type of impact for me. I, too, also found the Crows more interesting than the main story, maybe because we've seen this, you know, it wasn't your typical YA show. So we've seen it a million times, you know. I mean, I joked last week that it felt like a cross between Avatar The Last Airbender and His Dark Materials after watching the first episode. You know, but it really, I mean, it is your typical young adult novel turned into a TV show. But like I said, the Crows, I like them the best. I mean, especially Jesper. Jesper was amazing. I loved every time he was on the screen. He was just so much fun to watch.
Yeah, he was funny.
And I like Inez a lot too, you know. I mean, I found them much more complex and interesting than our leads, you know. Not that I had anything wrong with them or that story. And I like Ben Barnes a lot too, who played Kerrigan. But it's just, it wasn't as intriguing as what the Three Amigos were up to.
I agree. I mean, partly because they're the, I mean, there's a degree to which they're the underdogs and they're the normal people, the regular people. And so there's that, but also, like, particularly someone like Inej, who they're alluding to her difficult life at the Orchid, which I feel like is more than just prostitution. I think there was a lot of abuse going on there, right?
Yeah, that was
the
whole thing where she stitched herself up. They implied that, definitely.
Not that being indentured to prostitution is not abusive, but I feel like there was some physical other kinds of stuff going on there. And the way that Kaz, is that his name? I mean, he's buying her out. I mean, there's clearly some deeper connection between them that they can't speak of, but he loves her, right?
Yeah.
That Jesper's great. I mean, they're all, yes, that's a very...
I love the goat.
Apparently
the goat was awesome. I'm sorry, I just had to mention Milo.
From what I've read, that might be another book. Like, there's three books, and then there's two books. And they might be part of a different, like, they've integrated a bunch of different stories from numerous books to pull this together.
Yeah.
So I really loved the episode where they break in to steal the plants of the palace. And I liked the way they, you know, I've seen a lot of caper movies and caper shows where while they're describing what they're going to do, they're showing it on the screen. But I just felt the way they did it was really well done and really entertaining it, and I love mm-hmm. that. That might be one of my favorite sequences of the show, actually, the set.
Yeah, and it was also interesting, too, how Kaz totally, like, screwed the other guy, but he knew, like, that he was going to screw them, so he sent him to the wrong girl.
Oh, the guy who turned out was trying to kidnap,
The conductor.
Yeah, that was trying to kill her.
Yeah,
there was a lot of, it's not that the main characters weren't interesting. They were, but I think some of the other stuff, like, you'd like to see more of. That's why I said I really liked the one with she's not a witch, but that he kept calling a witch, and the slave trader. I wanted to see more
Nina
of them.
And the slaver, yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's what I was talking about. I enjoyed their characters. I liked
their
love story.
She
like, I would have read a book about them. Well, no, he wasn't a slaver. He was, I'm calling him a slaver. He was a kidnapping.
Well, he's a
still
fjorder, where
people.
They're called. He's from a different part of the world where they also think witches or Grisha are bad, right? I like that because, I mean, from the beginning you knew, it felt like a side story, but you knew it was going to pay off, right? You knew that was going someplace. I think those two actors had really good chemistry.
Yeah, like, great
I
chemistry.
Really saw the attract, right?
And that's like, yeah, and that's the other
I really
thing
saw
too.
The attraction.
Yeah, I did too. Mm-hmm. That's why I said I liked their love story. I'd read a book on them. But I wanted to know that, like, I was curious about some of the actors because I feel like I've seen them before, even though I haven't. I guess just because they were good and you start to feel like you've watched them. This kind of like happened with what's it called, The Wild. Because I looked them up, and pretty much Ben Barnes, and the main one, I guess, was in a couple things, but she didn't have big roles. But pretty much everybody was almost all unknown. I mean, obviously, the one that plays Ben Barnes' character's mother is from Harry Potter. I mean, she's known. But most of them were unknown, and, like, they were really, really good.
Or unknown
felt
to
like
us.
They were in
unknown
something, and they weren't.
American
audiences. No, but, I mean, they weren't in a lot of things. Well, some of them were actors, but some of them had, like, not, like, didn't really have credits. They hadn't really done anything.
Yeah.
That reminds me something I wanted to comment on because I think it's hilarious. Have you noticed how all these science fiction shows, His Dark Materials, this, Harry Potter, there's another one I was thinking of the other day. Have you ever noticed they make them all British?
Well, Harry Potter was British. I mean, that story was British, so that's kind of
written by
quite
a British author in a British.
That's what I mean.
That's right. That's
British.
True.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like His Dark Materials,
but yes,
and you know, like
for
all
American
these,
audience,
all these,
but they're not
all these
people.
All these type of shows. It always seems like they make them British or whatever because they want accents. So they make them
I know.
British.
They do.
for this.
I think in this show in particular, with this show, which is inspired by like Imperial Russia and they're speaking multiple languages,
right.
I do think that British accent
they
is
want a different
something.
Accent, yeah.
It's code for foreign accent, but Americans can understand it, right?
That's true.
You're
too,
right,
yeah.
AJ. Like it's the thing that Americans can understand, but still be like, oh, foreign.
Although it's also the fact that it seems like a lot of times the British actors are better too. I don't know about that, but it's not always true, but sometimes it's true. And a lot of it's because if you watch British TV, you see that they generally go by the people that are the best actors, not the best looking actors, which Americans kind of sometimes have a problem with, but we won't, you know, go there.
I mean, I do like the young woman who plays the main character, Jessie Mai.
I
forgot her name.
She hadn't been in a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Well, she's young. She's very good. I did like the way this show kind of. So, the typical YA show about a young woman who's an outsider finds she has power, becomes powerful, whatever. I mean, I did kind of like the way they moved her through a realization of being used. Like the way that Count General Kerrigan is like, oh, you know, there's a scene where they kiss and she seems to like, you know, I didn't really love the way I thought she turned away from Mal too quickly. Like she's like, oh, Mal's not sending me love.
Yeah.
Can you please like erase
the
scar
in
my hand?
And then she
oh, that pissed me off. That pissed me off.
But we also have to remember this is condensed too. Which causes a lot of that is that in a book I don't
it
think you feel quite the same.
Right,
you wouldn't.
AJ, you know what? The scar pissed you off, right?
Yes,
the scar pissed me off, and the reason it pissed me off because romantic or not,
he was still
they're still best friends. They're still they're still best friends.
And that's
so
the other thing. She felt like she didn't need him, but to me it seems like. It seemed like to me when that, and I can't think of her name again, his mother, whenever she was finally making the magic and stuff, and I guess she felt like she didn't need him anymore. It almost felt to me the way they did the scene that she was able to make the light in that moment because she thought about him. Because I almost was kind of like, it seemed like it was him that helped her, and she just didn't realize it.
Well, and I felt like Alina and Mal are not just best friends. They are lifelong best friends. They're basically brother and sister. They've never had anyone else in their entire life. And she's writing these letters and not hearing back. And I thought it was very naive of her to not be like, oh, maybe they're not sending them. Like, I'm like, duh, they're not sending them. Hello, right? And I felt for her to eliminate that scar on her hand was such a betrayal and such a, like that really bothered me a lot. And I actually lost some, like, interest in the character. And I wonder if that'll come back around. Like, I'm like, really? It's been like, it was months, not years, that she didn't hear from him. It was months, right? And it's a war.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that was the way she dealt with it either. Like, if it was the way she dealt with losing him, I could have maybe gotten bored with it. But it's like her like not needing him, and that wasn't cool. Although it's interesting that they weren't even the same scar. Like they just looked the same, and they actually had nothing to do with each other. I thought that was
but they were symbolic, right?
Right. Later, that's what I mean. I mean, I assumed they were going to be from the same thing. Like, I thought that would be.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting when you find out it's not the case.
Yeah. So later, when she's becoming closer and closer to General Kerrigan, what's his name? Alexander. And they're becoming closer and closer, and they eventually kiss. And like, I saw that coming. And I felt like on the one hand I didn't really see her being attracted to him. On the other hand, I felt like
I get it
that she feels abandoned and alone, and this guy is so flattering, and so like sometimes the most attractive thing about a person is they're attracted to you. And she was young, he was older. I mean,
I have two comments. I'm like, go ahead, and when you're done.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I saw it two ways. I saw it definitely that he was this powerful guy and he liked her and she fell for him really easy. So I kind of saw that, but I almost felt too like when you can tell that, you know, he's bad and it's coming, that he's kind of like grooming her too, because he is definitely older than her. And I felt like he... Because I was surprised when he even was like,
older.
Are you sure? Like, I think when he was like, are you
like
sure?
200 years old, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, even when he was like, are you sure? Like,
that surprised me, and I think that was maybe like they wanted you to think he wasn't bad. He was definitely, you know, trying to get her to fall for him and do everything he said type of thing.
And then it becomes clear that he just wants to control her, and he eventually enslaves her, right? And, I mean, I feel like, I mean, I did appreciate the part where she sort of, like, comes to this realization that everyone wants to use her, and she actually says to him, like, when he's like, look, I want, you and I have this power, we can save the world, and that's after she's got the deer thing on her neck, and she says, look, you and I could have done this together, we could have been together and been two powerful people, but you chose to trick me and enslave me, and now I hate you. I was like, okay, that,
right, but he never
that,
had an intention of doing that in the first place. We just didn't know it at that point, I think.
No, but she's like, you could have done it the better way, but you always choose the bad way, and now I hate you.
Right.
Like she could have, like, they could have ended the fold just as partners, not as, you know, he always wanted to seduce her and control her, because obviously he didn't want to end the fold. Now we find out at the end of it that he's, I mean, I don't know how I love that ending where the Volcra come out of the hold and fall.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
And seems like a villain who's insurmountable, right? Like, can the Volcra really come out of the fold? Wow. That's crazy. The part that interests me more is the story of this girl who's being hunted and wanted for her power, and she's like, maybe I don't want this power, right? Like, she kind of, like, although it's funny because she's, like, not sure she wants the power, but the moment that
he takes
Count
it.
Alexander takes it, then she's like, wait a minute, it's mine. You can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because by that point, she kind of dealt with it and, you know, it had moved on from the initial. But at the same time, she also knows he's bad, so she's like, wait a minute, no, not yours.
Yeah. You know what I thought they were going to do? I really thought that it was going to end up as, since he could access her power, that she could access his power, and she would somehow use his shadow power. That's where I thought.
Yeah, I thought that, too. So I thought about that, too.
That was kind of interesting. Yeah. I'm just looking at stuff because I was curious. Whoops, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right. Can we just, real quick, is Mal not the luckiest badass we've ever seen? I mean, he beats the shit out of everybody, but he gets hurt every single time.
I know. Mm-hmm. And yet he's lucky there's always like a witch around to heal him, right? There's always somebody who can heal him or something like it's funny because he's known as a good fighter, and yet mostly he gets the shit beat out of him every time.
But he always wins.
Mm-hmm. He always wins. He always wins, and there's always a healer around.
You know what it is, though? He's reckless. That's why he always ends up.
You're right, yeah. Like, what are the witches called? The Grisha? The Grisha.
Grisha,
are
very
important in the way they fight, right? They've been trained. They've been studied. He fights with feeling, and that's why he always loses.
The other thing is too, he was never tested either. I almost kind of wondered, like, should they have tested him?
No, he was.
I didn't get why just him being hurt.
No, he could not be. He was never tested.
He was hurt. Which I don't know.
No, he wasn't tested either.
They couldn't prick him. I never got that.
It's something to do with pain.
That was like
it was something to do with pain.
Oh, because
there's some kind of something to do with pain.
Yeah, because she said it was a shock of pain.
Oh, that's right, because he was already hurt from before. Yeah,
her hand. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but you would think they would have, like, tested him later or something. Like, he just had a hurt hand.
Well, they took off.
Which I don't even get how he got. They didn't explain how he got it or if it was permanent.
I think a big part of this, not a big part, but like a part of the show is the racism and the classism and the idea that they were orphans from another area and they're half shoe. And the idea that if he wasn't tested, who'd ever test him again? Because he's looked at as like a person who's not worthy, right?
I'm not sure he would just be half Jew, but yeah. They didn't care. Just curious if maybe he could have done it too. I just wondered if they never thought, well, what if he had it too? You know, we should test him. Like now I feel like they should test him type of thing.
Well, Well,
but,
I've not read these books. I've not read these books, but that's a good point. That could have happened in book like two or three that he gets tested and turns out that he's also Grisha, right?
Yeah. Yeah, or although, could be that he's not. I was just, the only thing I was going
to
say is,
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just think what his power manifests by now. What his power manifests by now, right? He's
well,
like,
but
well,
hers only manifests.
Hers only
manifested because of Mal.
Yeah.
Well, no, she that wasn't because of her, for herself. It manifested when
that's
she saw Mal getting taken.
You're right. But anyway, all I was going to say is I thought when I had heard they combined the books, like I assumed that it meant like the trilogy, like they took pieces from each book and didn't do it in order to get one series, especially because you don't know if it'll come back. But I was just going to say, because I was looking at it, they're parts of separate series, I guess. I didn't understand that. Like there's Shadow and Bone trilogy, but there's a separate story that's about the Crows, Six of Crows.
Yes, and they have joined the duology and the trilogy. Yeah, the Crows are a separate story, and they brought them in.
See, I didn't understand that. That's interesting.
I like them. I mean, we all like them. We all
think
they're
great
characters. Yeah.
All right. We have 4 minutes left unless we want to extend it even further.
No. Let's go.
I think
we're done with this.
All right. We'll do it again next week.
Anybody listening? Yep. We'll be back.
Yep, shorter show next week.
Next week.
Yep.
There's no Shadow and Bone. There's no Van Helsing.
There's no Manifest, I think.
Isn't it off?
Is it not off?
Isn't there a break? I could be wrong. Anyway, I think we have some breaks. So
I don't
we'll
know.
See what's
I
on
see
and,
the preview.
And check out. We'll update
I'll let everybody know when I start the show next week.
Yeah.
All right.
People, you should check out. There's lots of interviews at the site that go up all the time.
Yeah, Jamie
really
has
about,
been interviewing
so
like crazy.
Yes.
Jamie's online all the time with actors.
And for anybody that doesn't know, the site is scifivision.com. Probably should tell them that.
Yes, thank you, Adrian. Yes, you should tell them. I never remember to actually say that. I assume people know, which is dumb. Yeah, but yeah.
All right, ladies.
And more coming.
All right, guys.
We'll do it again next week.
And then soon.
Good night.
Yep.
All right. Bye.
Good night. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.